talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hop inside my mouth.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, babe, you wanna go out? You wanna go out, honey? Spend any money? Come here, cutie. Hey, come here. Did you hear what I say? I said, come here. Come here, daddy. You look so good.
Stanley, did you ever pay for sex? You know, with a prostitute? I'm gonna take that as a no.
No. No.
And now.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
What the hell was that?
That was Lisa May yesterday.
What? That was me?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like me at all.
It does not.
I don't
thank
think
God.
That's me.
That was like a satanic possession.
It was.
Like, where did that
scream,
come from?
Apparently.
We almost had to call a priest and just tie her down.
It was a frightening moment.
No bell for tie down. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's 5:35 and it's Wednesday morning.
I'd like to point out that Beer Mug's contribution to today's show has been giving us a Third Eye Blind musical lead-in.
That did happen. I was trying to ignore it, but that happened.
You know, you hear all the time about TV shows that sometimes have trouble getting traction because they have such a terrible lead-in. You know, they're on late in the prime time and they just can't get any eyes on them. And I wonder if, you know, that's the kind of problem we have this morning with, you know, how many people can possibly be left by the end of that Third Eye Blind song? Are we starting from scratch now to try to build a whole new audience?
Because everybody's tuned away?
Right, because we completely cleansed the palate now.
But I guess sometimes they're gone for an hour or more, too. They don't think to come back.
Right.
It's only a 3-minute song, and we play it ironically. I promise.
We could be talking only to ourselves right now at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's a fascinating story out of the University of Virginia. I don't know how they train doctors. I mean, how do you train a doctor when you don't have patients that are sick? You can't treat real patients, I guess. You know, when you're just starting out of medical school, they want to get some real world experience. So one of the exercises that they do in medical schools all over America, including University of Virginia, is they have actors come in to portray patients and they describe symptoms. They're briefed, you know, just like an actor would with lines, and they describe symptoms and they talk to their, you know, these aspiring doctors and give them some real-world patient experience to try to see if they can figure out what's wrong with them based on their descriptions and examinations. So here's a medical student named Ryan Jones who's participating in the standardized patient program at the medical school. And the actor Jim Malloy comes in, and he's portraying a guy with abdominal aortic aneurysm, which has something to do with the main blood vessel in your abdomen get some sort of a fault, and it can open too quickly, and it can like blow out the blood vessel walls, and it can kill you. It's a very serious thing. So he's the actor playing this part who doesn't have this condition. He's describing it to the medical student who is taking it all in and doing an examination, and the medical student says, I think you might actually have this based on what I'm seeing and feeling.
But and he was just faking.
He was pretending to have the abdominal aortic aneurysm. Man walked in as an actor, just, you know, taking the $100 or whatever. And it turned out that he actually did have the abdominal aortic aneurysm. The medical student said, I'm asking the guy the questions and he's describing the symptoms. And I'm wondering if he's just playing along, you know, being a good actor, because what I'm feeling and seeing on his scans makes it look like he really does have it.
That guy's a method actor.
Yeah, that guy developed that symptom.
To get just the actual symptom to go in.
So he told the supervising doctor, hey, I discovered something. And the doctor looked over the data and suggested that the actor go to a real cardiologist and have it checked out. And sure enough, he did have it and underwent surgery to have the aneurysm removed. And now he's fine.
What the hell?
What are the chances of that happening? The medical student, by the way, is currently interviewing for residency programs across the country and plans to become a radiation oncologist. I would say that he's got a pretty good shot at getting a job based on his performance in this procedure. Isn't that just the crazy? Like, what are the chances? It sounds – I've never heard of that. I don't know how rare it is. But what are the chances that the actor they asked to have that symptom had that symptom?
I just put it at impossible. I mean, yes. It just doesn't seem possible.
You go right and buy a lottery ticket.
Crazy story and one of the rare opening stories that has a happy ending, ladies.
How about
that?
So
thank
go
you
ahead
me.
And enjoy that.
And by the way, one of the other things they do to train the doctors is they go to training hospitals. I don't know if you've ever been to UCLA.
I've seen it in the movies.
Man, oh man. You're in the UCLA and the doctor walks in and he's followed by, I don't know, 100, you know, assistants or people, you know, that he's teaching, and they all come in, and then he goes, okay, what do you guys think? And then they all give their opinions, and you're
like, well, that's like on House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like House.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're like, look, I'm not feeling so well.
Hey, people.
I don't know that I need 45 people in here trying to diagnose me. This sucks. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Nope.
We have two fighters coming into the studio. Very excited about this. Sarah McMahon will be here. She's fighting a woman by the name of Ronda Rousey next.
Uh-oh.
So
that can't feel like fun to know that you're up next in that buzzsaw.
Yeah, no kidding. We also have Daniel Cormier, who's going to fight, and he's a great fighter. Mm-hmm. Talking about UFC 170 and the tickets on sale for that. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Michael Schneider from TV Guide talking about new TV shows and returning TV shows.
Excellent. There's so many.
We're a little confused. It's hard to keep up with everything that's going on, so we're going to have him
in. Well, here's the thing. Unless you're Lisa May, who literally watches every show at least
once.
That's
true.
I try.
The rest of us just don't have that kind of time because some nights there's 3-4 new shows, you know, that are already battling for what limited time you might have in front of the TV, and there's just no way. Like that Intelligence last night on CBS. I saw one headline of one review that said it was supremely stupid, and I thought, well, I'm not going to check that one out. Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe that was just one guy's opinion, and he was wrong, and it's great. I don't know. It's impossible to catch.
We also have Sex Sent Me to the ER. We've got some highlights of that.
Oh, that's fun.
If I could just give you a teaser, we're going to do it in the 6 o'clock hour. The guy was... Well, the guy was 440 pounds.
Mm.
Oh. So you can just
how did he,
perhaps guess.
Did he have a partner?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Oh, Virgin.
Oh, yes.
Also, a brand new internet roundup. We've got your Linkin Park tickets for this weekend, and the comedian Rob Delaney will be here as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 5 minutes till 6.
Ralph Garvin steps in. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Just exhausted from using my ribs. I did a big rib workout yesterday.
I know you guys like to mock, crazy. But Kevin was asking about the ribs, and it's something that you use every time you sit down, stand up, turn, drive, eat, walk. It's not,
But you said it depends on how much you use them. We all use them pretty much the same amount, I think, with our breathing and talking.
Yes, but if you're... I don't know, doing athletic stuff. It
probably
could be a lot worse.
I'm going to try to stay away from MMA during this recovery period.
My point is I don't know that there's anyone who could recover from cracked ribs better than Bean.
Because he rarely turns or stands or walks does anything.
He barely breathes.
He's quickly spiraling towards Stephen Hawking territory. He's just going to be a guy in a chair with a blow tube at some point.
You all right?
You all right, Bean?
Oh, that one surprised me.
Wow. A little faint. Kim Kardashian, I'm sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian is, she's working out all the time. No carbs, dedication, no alcohol, nothing. That's how she got her body back so quickly after having her child.
Right.
Which is great because it also gives you a way to not attend to your child in any way. Use all that time you would spend raising your child to work out and go out with the Kanye.
They don't need to bond or anything.
No. So you can leave food in a water bowl.
So to impress her fans, she Instagrammed that picture. You see her and her friend Black Chyna, who are comparing butts in the mirror. That Instagram photo.
Yeah.
Well, the Photoshop police have been all over that, and they are saying this week that the photos were clearly manipulated. If you go to radaronline.com, there's a story there that says the doorway in the background of the photograph is curved.
Is that right?
And so it appears as if Kim photoshopped the photo to make her waist look thinner, thus making her bust and booty look more voluptuous.
That's not surprising.
Look, I don't know anything about whether this is photoshopped or not, but how could she get away with photoshopping something if she's going to be out in front of cameras again today and again tomorrow and again this weekend. It's not like she can hide from whatever her body looks like right now.
But she won't be in booty shorts and a sports bra.
Right.
So she might come wearing a dress or whatever, and it doesn't look the same. But she wanted to look her best.
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Is that photoshopping your selfies?
Yeah.
You really need to check in to someplace. Have them take a good long look at your head. What's going on there? Meanwhile, her man, Kanye West, he's not amused. Isn't that surprising? He is suing the creators of a new online currency. You familiar with the Bitcoin phenomenon?
Yes. We talked to a guy about that. What?
It's all BS.
6 months ago or something?
I love the Bitcoin.
Sabine wanted BS. To get some. And
He should have
invested in Twitter with your Bitcoins.
It's just online currency that doesn't exist, right?
It doesn't really mean anything. It's right. Not used by everyone. It's just Dungeons and Dragons with dollars is what it is. Well, a new group of creators have created a new virtual currency, a new online currency.
Okay.
And Kanye West is suing them because they called their money Kanye West. Kanye. See, because it's a coin. Hello, is this thing on?
That's
Kanye West.
That's almost funny.
It's harmless. It's just ridiculous. Well, Kanye flipped out, apparently, and he's having his lawyers file cease and desist orders and trademark infringement, anything else he can throw at them. The creators apparently have simply changed their name of their currency now to Kanye and went ahead with the launch of their money yesterday, so you can get Kanye.
Being you on that?
I don't know. I think I'm still playing catch-up with Bitcoin. I don't know if I'm ready for Kanye.
Man, Bitcoin is so 2 weeks ago.
Did you guys see Anchorman 2?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kanye West.
Yes.
Funny.
Yeah.
And I know that they gave him lines and everything.
Look, I think he's a talented guy.
He was really funny in that. He had a small part, but he pulled it off.
Yeah. Hey, you know who else is funny and talented? Honey Boo Boo and her family.
Oh, all the talents there.
Tragic news. Apparently, Honey Boo Boo and most of her family are recovering from a car crash, which happened Monday night in their hometown of McIntyre, Georgia. Honey Boo Boo's dad, Sugar Bear, was turning left in their six-month-old Suburban when another car struck them. The other car had the right-of-way, apparently, but its headlights were turned off, so they couldn't see it.
Ah.
Which is a treacherous situation. But Sugar Bear, Mama June, Pumpkin and Chubbs.
Right.
Apparently all okay, as well as Honey Boo Boo.
Her favorite foods are Skitty and butter.
It was really scary for us, Mama June said. We are definitely sore today, but our top priority is to celebrate Pumpkin's birthday. She turned 14 today, and no matter how sore we feel, we're going to go out and celebrate. So,
I'm guessing Pumpkin was driving and then changed after the wreck.
Then Daddy Doo or whatever. He got behind
Sloppy
the
Bear. Sloppy, hey, Sloppy Joe. Bear, get up there.
Sloppy Joe got behind there.
She can't get caught.
Winky Sphincter decided she was going to hop in the back and all the others.
If you live in that little city and you run them freaks. Over, I mean, aren't they probably the biggest celebrities?
The only income McIntyre has.
Ever in that city.
The town would have to close. Today's
feel sad.
Yeah, you should feel sad. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sarah Polley, the actress, is 35 years old today. Sean Paul, the reggae singer, he's 41. R. Kelly, who has promised us more chapters of Trapped in the Closet this year.
So where are you, Chuck?
47 years old today. David Bowie, 67. Robert Krieger of The Doors is 68. Speaking of Bean's eventual doppelganger, Stephen Hawking, the physicist, celebrates his 72nd birthday today. Game show host Bob Eubanks is 76. And actress Rachel Nichols is 34.
Excuse me? I'm sorry?
I'm Ralph Garman.
I didn't go through that.
I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't go through that one. She's hot. I like her.
But if we talk about Rachel Nichols, then you know what has to happen?
He creeps out. Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
You're smarten up,
Kevin. I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right.
All right. We have Linkin Park tickets next. If you would like to go, Music for Relief presents the concert for the Philippines. It is this Saturday, and we're going to give away some tickets. You have to win a game, though. You can call 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that.
Sex sent me to the ER later this hour, and also a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup on the way. But first, it's not just a Linkin Park show, you guys. It's Linkin Park, The Offspring, and Bad Religion all together in one night on one stage this Saturday at Club Nokia. Tickets are on sale now at musicforrelief.org. Every penny you pay for those tickets is going to go to the people who need it in the Philippines suffering from the terrible typhoon from a couple months ago. So tickets on sale now, but you can win them right now with a game we like to call Strinkin' Park.
And now, Kevin and Bean present Strinkin' Park. Simply identify the Linkin Park song played for you, and you can win.
Now, these are not good versions. And we're not exactly sure why people do this unless maybe they can work in their favorite music at work, you know, where you can't really play a Linkin Park song, but if you played a string version, mm-hmm. an orchestra, a very nice, right. soft, soothing orchestra version, perhaps you can get away with playing some of your favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people also like to introduce their kids to rock music this way.
Nope.
Babies or something like that. They want to put them to sleep with something soothing, but they're not ready for the real thing. So this kind of gets them in the mood for the melodies. I don't know. I don't know what the market is for these, but these exist, and that's why we're going to play a string quartet version of a Linkin Park song, and all you have to do is tell us what it is, and you go into the drawing and maybe win tickets to that show on Saturday. Who's our first contestant?
All right, let's go to John, a surgical tech. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, John.
All right, this is going to be tough, and it's going to suck. So listen up, okay? What Linkin Park song is this?
That was one of the easier ones, I think.
What do you think there, John?
God, I'm looking at the answer. Linkin Park song.
How about a guess?
In the end, I'm sorry, no.
It was sort of like that.
It was Somewhere I Belong is what we were looking for. All right, George is up next. He's on line two. Hey, George, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
All right, listen up. I know what you're thinking, George. That sounds familiar. What is that?
Sounds very familiar. Bleed it out.
Bleed it out. I'm sorry, that was faint.
So, Bean, you don't think little babies are up for that?
I don't think so. I don't think they're ready for the real thing. By the way, Faint is going to be the theme song to the reality show that I am pitching, where there are cameras on me just watching me fall down all day going
That's awesome.
About my business.
I would watch that.
All right. How about Joey? He's up next, line three. Hey, Joey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean. Come here.
Hi, Joey.
Are you ready for your song?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Let's name it, Joey.
Sounded foolish, but may have sort of given it away.
Falling?
Sorry, it's Breaking the Habit.
This is tough.
Harder than we thought.
Let's go to Brittany on line eight. Let's see if we can – let's give a lady a shot because the guys are all striking out so far.
All right, Brittany, hi.
Hi.
Brittany's a vacation planner.
Ooh, nice
Fantastic.
Job.
All right, you ready for your song? How have you been doing?
Yeah.
How have you been doing so far?
I got one.
All right.
Okay, that's all you need.
If it's this one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A thousand suns?
Sorry. It was dumb.
All right, we're into a sudden death here, ladies and gentlemen. It was going to be a drawing. Now it's you name the Linkin Park song and you win your way in. Tristan has the first opportunity to do that. He's on line four.
Hi, Tristan.
Hi, how's it going?
Are you ready for your song?
Yeah.
It's not going well. In answer to your question, we've gotten no winners so far, so... We're not enthused, but let's give you a shot. Here you go.
All right, let's go.
On the next episode of Downton Abbey on PBS's Masterpiece Theater.
All right, what Linkin Park song is that?
In the end, I don't know.
Sorry, it's waiting for the end.
Waiting for the end to come.
That was close.
Wow.
On accident, right. But close.
Let's go to Brian's.
Let's try one more and see if we can get somebody to identify a song. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Please tell us you've been doing well on hold.
I would have got the last one, but that's about it.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Here you go. All right.
A new divide.
What?
New divide.
He said a new divide.
A new divide, but why? But. What I've done.
That was what I've done. Okay, I feel good about Matt. Matt's on line six. I think he is going to blow the doors off this thing.
All right. Matt, you ready to blow the doors off this thing?
Let's do this. I got this. Let's go.
There you go.
I got this in the end.
Yeah! There you go! Nicely done.
Yeah, guys.
Nicely done.
Saturday night, Club Nokia. You'll see Linkin Park, also Offspring and Bad Religion. Everybody else, please buy your tickets. It's for a good cause at musicforrelief.org. And thanks for playing Strinkin' Park.
That was Kevin and Bean's Strinkin' Park. Don't you feel a little better now that you've played?
106.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 6.
They just covered my song without even getting permission or give me a heads up or anything like that. They just started singing my song and pretending it was one of their own.
That was yours.
Hate that, Bastille. Hey, TLC, which as you guys know, stands for the Freak Show Network, yes, debuted a new show just after New Year's on January 3rd called Sex Sent Me to the ER. Now, this is made by the same production company that had Untold Stories of the ER, but now these all have a little sexiness to them. And I haven't seen this yet, Kevin.
Yeah.
But apparently lots of people end up in the emergency room.
Yeah.
It's all of lovemaking.
Sex What's accidents, up? Yeah. It's funny, too, because you said it debuted on January 3rd. I think I got a tweet on January 3rd, somebody going, sex sent me to the ER. Get on it. Just so that we knew. So thank you for keeping an eye open for that. This is the story of Bubba and Jen. There's three stories in the course of an hour.
All right.
This show may need to be cut to a half hour.
Oh, okay.
But there are three stories. Bubba has a unique problem.
My nickname was Bubba back in the day. I was a big guy. I was 440 pounds.
440 pounds.
Oh, my God.
That's beer mug-esque.
Hey, but, and by the way, they're talking to him now, and I'll bet he isn't 200 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. But then they show Bubba in the early days, and so then he tells us,
I was starting the process of my losing weight, but I was still up there in the 440s.
Now, I like that because that's the mug's idea of losing weight. I started my diet and losing weight, but I was still in the 440s. Wait, that's where you started. You're not losing weight. But at least he wasn't self-conscious about the way he looks.
I was very self-conscious about myself. I was very self-conscious of how I looked.
All right, but at least...
when it came to the opposite sex, and I was a virgin.
A virgin. Okay, aww. So you got all that.
Now, I have to ask, these aren't actors playing the roles of the people who ended up in the ER. These are the real people, right?
These are the people that ended up in the ER, yeah.
So this is Bubba today recounting how he ended up in the ER back when he weighed twice as much.
So 440... on a diet that hasn't lost a pound, and a virgin. So he meets Jen, and Jen is the best girl alive.
She must be.
Well, I've figured dating for a while. Why don't we try and take this to the next level?
That's Jen. That's why girls are better than guys.
Absolutely.
This dude is a hideous monster of a man. I mean, he's got... at one point, she goes, his boobs are bigger than mine. And it's very, very true.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He's just huge, but she's
like...
yeah,
because she likes him, she's still willing to sleep with him.
Exactly. So it's really bizarre.
And we're going at it. So I'm trying to go as full out as I can, you know, pull out all my... My tricks that I have never used before with anyone.
You got to imagine the guy's 440 pounds, and he's a virgin, and he's getting sex.
He's got no tricks.
No tricks, but... you know he's trying hard. Like, yeah. He really wants to make this happen, and he wants it to be good because this may be his last shot.
Unless, you know, it's funny. I was going to say the only trick would be if she doesn't end up in the ER, but it sounds like that's exactly where we're headed.
When what happened was her top of her head was pushed against the back wall. 440 pounds pushed her.
Now, it's important here that I mention to you that he, 440-pound Bubba, was on top.
Holy moly.
That sounds like poor
And then
planning.
He said he was going at it, so I can imagine.
Does that seem like a bad plan?
Vigorous.
That sounds like poor planning. Are they on a bed?
Yep, they're on a bed, but they're in the basement of their parents' house.
Okay.
Of her parents' house.
It's just the best story ever.
It's got a lot going for it right now. So 440 pounds on top and really, really, really doing his best to make things work.
Her head went through the sheetrock wall.
How about that music?
Her head went through the wall.
Through the sheetrock wall. Her head, there was like a headboard, but there was a space between the headboard and the mattress. Her head literally went through the wall.
Oh
wow.
God, he could have killed her.
And he actually thought he killed her.
There was sheetrock kind of like on the front of her face. Her eyes are closed, hands open, not moving, kind of like, eh. My initial reaction is, I killed her. This is my first time I killed someone via sex.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe how big this hole is.
Oh, well, that was... They just talking about the sheetrock.
Oh, okay.
Don't get the wrong idea. So now, what do? She's passed out.
Mm-hmm.
Her head has been driven through the wall, and she's passed out. So he's trying to get her attention to make sure he didn't kill her.
Jen, wake up. Jen? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Do I have to call an ambulance? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?
Should I call 911? Yeah, I'm calling 911.
So he calls 911.
Do you think?
And he's still trying to, you know, bring her around.
I just kind of push my head out of the wall.
She pushes herself out, and now I'm horrified.
Okay, so she wakes up from being knocked out, extracts her head from the wall, and he still thinks, like, this is the worst thing ever. And by the way, they're together telling the story, which I'm guessing means... They may still be together.
Yeah, they survived this, yeah.
I'm literally horrified. I thought I really hurt her. She looks me down the eye, and this is where this solidified the relationship here. She looks at me, and she goes...
What do you think she said? After he drove her head through a wall...
Oh, that's a great question.
She comes back from being knocked out after he's called 911, and she says what?
It's okay. I'm fine.
Can we be done now?
Why did you stop?
Why did you stop?
Yes!
She did not.
She's the best girlfriend ever.
Proof that women are better than men. Right.
Just weird that the Foo Fighters haven't played in any pizza parlors in the last, like, 2 weeks. They slow it down.
They do pop up in the strangest places.
UFC 170 tickets are going on sale this Saturday. We have two of the fighters on that bill. Sarah McCann and Daniel Cormier are both going to be joining us in the studio later on today. Adam Carolla on the program. Rob Delaney, very funny man, is going to be joining us. And from TV Guide, Michael Schneider next hour. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean.
We compile all the best, all the funniest, all the must-see viral videos of the week and put them in one location at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. There's one that I won't play the audio for because it's just a Queen song, but I don't know why this guy would do this. But over the course of 3 years, he lip-synced every day a little bit more to a Queen song. So when he put it all together, you see him aging from age 15 to 18.
Oh, wow.
Like, why would you, how would you, tell me?
It's fascinating to watch, but I'm with Bean. Like, why?
And why B, would you do that?
B, how, you know, 2 weeks into it, don't you go, this is stupid, I'm going to quit.
Right, because you turn on your video camera and you lip sync for one second, then turn it off and come back the next day.
That's weird.
Anyway, if you want to see a teenager age while singing a Queen song, and who hasn't wanted to have that fantasy come true, you can go to the Internet Roundup. Here's a great story. This is right in the pocket of what we've been talking about with me fainting over the holidays and breaking three ribs. This woman is a reporter, and she is standing on a ski slope, and she's interviewing some people about a festival that's going on, and she passes out in the middle of the interview. She's unconscious, it looks like, for a couple of seconds, and she comes right back out of it and continues talking.
You guys are teaching me how to cross-country ski, so give us some base.
She's on the ground.
Awesome.
Okay. Yes. Now, I'm going to toss it back to you guys. I just slipped and fell, so we'll have more, but tell people.
She fell backwards, by the way, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she did. And she slipped and fell because she fainted, clearly, and then she was interviewed afterwards. She said, well, I came to, and I saw that the camera was on me and the red light was on, so I just started talking again. She had no idea at that point how long she was out, but... It was, what a trooper, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
All right,
I like the guy that she was interviewing. He just kept going. He just like, okay, well, this interview's going to keep going. Let me talk about my ski school or whatever it was. Yeah.
Right. That's David King of Mexico, who puts the roundup up at KRock.com. Steve Love is a guy that we've featured before. He's a talented young impressionist. And I guess his friends were throwing out names for him to do impressions of while he was drunk. And this is like a 5-minute video, and I can't even keep track of how many impressions he does. But he has a couple of Family Guy voices for you here and Mike Tyson, too. Here's Steve Love.
Hey, Lois. Diarrhea.
Peter, I'm holding nice tea here.
I'm going to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
And it just goes on like that forever. It's so bizarre. All right. You think you're over the cinnamon challenges. Like, there's nothing that anybody can do with
that
cinnamon
was
challenges.
2 years
right?
ago.
What's the basic old school cinnamon challenge, Dave? What do you have to do?
You can't get a teaspoon of cinnamon. You can't swallow it down. And remember, Mike did it.
Without water or anything else?
Yeah, you just got to throw it down.
Mike did it. Mike Catherwood, actually. So here's a guy, and I don't know why in 2014 he's attempting the cinnamon challenge. But, Kevin, you will love his friends so much because he puts the cinnamon in his mouth, and as he starts to swallow it, they step up and pepper spray him in the face. Now, imagine the combination of both of those things going on. You're choking to breathe. Your mouth is full of cinnamon. Now you've been pepper sprayed in the face. You have to see this video. But here's what it sounded like.
Here we go.
I can't see.
Come with me, Liam. Come with me. Come with me.
Awesome.
I've
been pepper sprayed before, too, and it's it really does, A, hurt, B, and it hurts all the way down, and B, it just makes it impossible to breathe, and your eyes start watering, and you're doing the cinnamon. You have a mouthful of cinnamon, which he projectile vomits straight out.
Do you think he knew the pepper spray was coming, Dave?
I do.
I would think so, too, because it's a little too extreme to surprise somebody with.
The only thing that I kept thinking is, why is he not running for a bathroom or a kitchen to get water? Why is he staying on camera? And then I thought, he can't see. He's blinded, right?
Essentially, not only can he not see, he can't breathe. So he's just, you know, trying to gasp for air first.
Good times.
It's a mess, but you got to see
this video. You in? Don't do that.
All right, here's one of the strangest videos we've ever had on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. And I can't for the life of me understand why somebody would even think of this. But they took every song by the punk band Dillinger Escape Plan, all of their songs, and they got a few albums out, and they play them all at the same time. Now, that's just noise, right?
Yeah, of course.
And, of course, as you're listening to it, it turns into some sort of crazy art project because as each song ends, what's left gets a little bit easier to understand. So it's almost like the last song standing is the one that's the last, you know, it's playing by itself by the time it gets to the end of the video. But here's just a tiny taste of it. And if you're a masochist and want to find the whole video, you should go look at it.
Somebody's alarm just went off. That's my favorite part. Oh, that's good.
Oh, I love that song.
That is
the only thing that's missing is Lisa.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
I know we're over looking back at 2013, but this video is great. This is a compilation of the funniest news bloopers off TV for the whole year.
And Hugh Janus, turning 10. We mentioned...
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
It's my favorite.
It's one of those.
I totally fell for it, didn't I?
Especially when you're talking to young classical pianists.
Winter weather warning right now. Here's a live look at the Fox 6 snow stick. This is out on the weather dick.
It just goes on like that for minute after minute. Well, Old Spice is back, and their videos are getting weirder and weirder. This one is called Mom Song, and this is a video where moms, or actresses playing moms of kids, are following their teenage sons around, like hiding in the couch cushions when the kids are on a date or following behind them when they're skiing or whatever, and they're making all sorts of creepy, inappropriate comments about how their boys, thanks to Old Spice, I guess, Dave, have grown up into men.
Yep. Yeah, now they're men, and they're getting chicks, and their moms
smell
are sad.
Smell come to manhood.
That's where smell come to manhood came from.
Yeah, this is part of the campaign. Yeah, exactly. And it is so unbelievable. I mean, you will watch this and think you're in a David Lynch movie. Check it out.
Old Spice. Great a man on my son.
Now he's kissing all the women and his chores aren't done.
He was just my little sweetie, tiny fingers, hands and feeties. Now he's touching, kissing, feeling all the women because Old Spice.
How'd you like to be in the meeting where they came up with that idea, by the way?
It's so well done.
It's so crazy. And finally, some are suggesting that Alex Trebek has lost it. I got to applaud a 65-year-old man for going for it. He's the host of Jeopardy on TV, of course, and the category is rap lyrics. And Alex doesn't read them. Alex raps them.
In nothing but a G-thang, this doctor rapped, never let me slip, because if I slip, then I'm slipping. Mary.
Who's Dr. Dre?
Yes. You go ooh and ah when I jump in my car. People treat me like this Hall of Fame L.A. Lakers center. Mary.
Who's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yes, and I don't know why that's making you laugh so much.
I don't either. You can all see all of these videos and so much more at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Hey, Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's new, dude?
It's going to be a bad couple months for Kevin.
Oh, why?
Well, as I mentioned yesterday, it's the 50th anniversary of the arrival of the Beatles on our shores, Kevin.
For a year? What did you say, a couple months? A couple months? Isn't that just a day? Shouldn't it just be a day?
I'm sorry. I just went through some time travel. You're talking about a year there and then months and then it was
a
day?
I forgot how long you said I was going to be in trouble or I was going to be miserable or whatever however you started it.
It's going to be a bad couple of months.
Couple of months. All right.
Yes. Because from now through the middle of February, they're talking about the first appearance of the Beatles on American television on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Why don't they do that on the day is my point.
And so they are planning a lot of events. I mentioned yesterday about that Beatles tribute concert that will be recorded after the Grammy Awards. They're going to have a lot of artists doing Beatles numbers to be aired on the day of the anniversary of their appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And apparently the David Letterman Show has announced they are calling the week of February 3rd through the 7th the Beatles Spectacular Week. And rumor has it that the two surviving Beatles, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, will be sharing stage for the first time in a long time on the 7th on the David Letterman Show. They'll be performing together.
Now, he does his show on the Ed Sullivan Theater, right? I mean,
that's where
it all happened originally 50 years ago.
That's right.
How different. How different for Paul McCartney to only have Ringo there.
Yeah. Who are the other guys? The talented ones. Ringo, by the way, is the guest of honor at a birthday party for David Lynch on the 20th of January.
Isn't the birthday boy supposed to be the guest of honor?
I would think so. But David Lynch is a champion of transcendental meditation, which Ringo learned how to do with the other Beatles in India back in 1968. So David is honoring Ringo with his Lifetime of Peace and Love Award. That should be a show. How do I get my tickets?
Congratulations, Ringo! You're full of peace and love!
Well, thank you. I'm meditating now.
Do you think they'll jam together on Crazy Happy Fun Time Clown Time? What was that song? B, what was the name of that song?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Crazy
wasn't it
Clown Time?
Crazy Clown Time.
Pauline and her red shirt.
Could be Ringo playing drums there.
Sure.
Pauline and her red shirt.
Pauline did have a red shirt in his defense.
Absolutely. Holy, holy. Where's that red shirt?
It's a great drop.
It's David Lynch.
I know.
Well, all right.
That's it? That's all you got?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting article.
No.
Interesting interview with Drew Barrymore.
All right.
No to that, too.
In Marie Claire magazine.
First one that made sense. Thank you.
She deals with the fact that she was legally emancipated from her parents at the tender age of 15.
Was that a money thing?
Yeah. Why was that? She wanted to keep her own money, so she divorced her parents at the age of 15, was living on her own at 15, and said it was scary living on her own at 15. She was scared to death that someone would climb through her window where she lived. Said she had to learn to rely on very close friends who became her surrogate family. And the most important fact, and the most interesting in my opinion, is the fact that she didn't know when she was 15 and moved out on her own that you had to throw out food when it started rotting.
What did she think you did?
I'm not sure.
Maybe but she didn't 15. Understand that food spoiled or something.
Have you 15?
Yeah, when you're 15, I think that's a pretty easy thing to grasp.
No, this meat is rotting. I should put this in the garbage now.
What? Yeah, that's just common sense.
What do you think? E.T. is going to come along, eat some Reese's Pieces, and throw out your garbage for you? You're a moron. If you're 15 years old, you don't know to throw out food that's gone bad.
That's true.
Boy, that banana sure is black. I'll hold on to it for a while. Maybe it'll change back to yellow.
Just took another bite of that banana. Still really bad.
Hell.
That's crazy.
Yeah. She's dumb. That's my story.
It does seem
Drew Barrymore's dumb.
Honestly, like if you're 5 to 7, you could pretty much put that together.
Yeah. I got a 3.5-year-old. She takes a bite of a bad strawberry and goes, ew, this is bad. Garbage. Throws it out. Celebrity birthdays today. These people were all born on today, January the 8th. Game show host Bob Eubanks used to host the Newlywed Game back in the day.
Now, is he the Rose Parade host now on Channel 5?
Wow.
Bob Eubanks? Is he the guy who still does
you're
that?
Asking the wrong guy.
Same here.
I am not a big Rose Parade.
I couldn't be further from the Rose Watcher. Parade.
Guess he could be.
Could be. May have.
Been. Open up a blog.
76 years old today. Physicist Stephen Hawking celebrates his 72nd birthday. Robbie Krieger of the legendary LA band The Doors is 68. Singer David Bowie celebrates his 67th birthday today. Did you hear Marcy bitching again?
No, now what?
Now he says he was supposed to do a duet with David Bowie. They were going to do You've Lost That Loving Feeling together.
Okay.
And Bowie backed out. And he's very upset.
Okay.
He said David Bowie is the same thing as pedophilia. That's what he said. Very strange. Apparently everything is to Marcy.
That is strange. Maybe he doesn't understand pedophilia.
That's very possible. Maybe we need to get him a dictionary. Singer R. Kelly, speaking of which.
is quite 40. A tie. He understands the definition of pedophilia.
He sure does.
But he knows how to become acquitted of it.
Better than almost anybody. He's 47 years old today. Reggae singer Sean Paul is 41. Sarah Polley, the very lovely and talented actress, 35 years old today. And another lovely, talented actress, Rachel Nichols, celebrates her 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Don't forget, if you want to go to the Super Bowl in person, you can. You can enter at KROQ.com for free to win tickets to the big game. Also, stay at the Bud Light Hotel. Access to parties, including the Big Hello to Brooklyn concert featuring the Red Hot Chili Peppers and New Politics. That would be a fun weekend in the New York City area. Again, details at KROQ.com.
All right, let's talk about Michael Bay again, because this story is so weird. You just never see a public meltdown like this. But he was at CES this week, which is the Consumer Electronics Show. And he was out there with Samsung talking about their new TV. And apparently the prompter went haywire. Mm-hmm. And so did he. At some point, the guy was just asking him about his movies and stuff. And he just said, I'm sorry, I got to go. I think Bean has the audio from him on stage actually just turning and walking off long before.
What I try to do is, as a director, I try to.
He's looking at the teleprompter, not seeing what he wants.
The type is all off. Sorry, but I'll just wing this.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, we'll wing it right now. I try to take people on an emotional ride, and.
All right, he's out now. That's the extent of his winging it. He has nothing else to say.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's thank Michael Bay for joining us.
Literally turned and walked off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Then he went to his blog afterwards and said, I embarrassed myself at CES. I was about to speak for Samsung for this awesome curved 105-inch UHD TV. I rarely lend my name to any products, but this one is just stellar. I got so excited at the talk that I skipped over the executive VP's intro line, and then the teleprompter got lost, and the prompter went up and down, and then I walked off.
But the guy literally did at one point just say, tell us about your movies.
Right.
It seems like any director on earth could go on for hours about their movies.
Yeah,
and what he liked about this product that he volunteered to be there at. So it was definitely confusing. Look, Michael Bay, whether you like his movies or not, he is a smart, articulate guy. It was a surprise that he fell apart under that kind of pressure. But now that he's had a couple of days to regroup, we thought maybe we'd give him a chance to explain what happened. And Michael Bay has been kind enough to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I believe we have the Transformers director on the phone with us right now. Hi, Mr. Bay. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. Thank you. No problem.
Well, what do you want to tell us, like, right off the bat about Las Vegas? What happened?
Well, it was like I said on my blog. It was I was very excited. I started to jump ahead on the teleprompter, I guess.
Right.
And then the teleprompter got out of sequence, and mm-hmm. It's very embarrassing because I was trying to read what the. I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
What?
Do we have his number? Can we call him back?
That's bizarre.
I mean, he knew this call was coming, right? Yeah. This wasn't a surprise. We didn't spring it on him.
Yeah, hello.
It's Kevin and Bean. Did you hang up on us?
Yeah, I was trying to read what I had written on my blog, there's something wrong with my computer screen. I couldn't make it out, so I tried to wing it. I just started.
Okay, maybe you shouldn't read. Maybe
yeah,
just,
don't read. Just talk to us.
Have a conversation.
Yeah, well, I will just wing it. I'll just wing it.
Okay, good.
Okay. Listen. All right. So you're on stage now. Right. Why did you walk off rather than just accept the help of the co-presenter, the other gentleman that was up on stage, who was just prepared to help you by asking you questions?
Well, there were some very specific points that I was trying to get across about the new television and about my films and what I try to get across with my films and how this technology would help with that.
Right. And, so why wouldn't you just say that?
Well, I try to take people on an emotional ride.
Right.
And I...
it's okay. It's just talking. Just guys talking.
All right, okay. I'll just wing it.
All right. Good. You're not in front of a group of people or any.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We're just on the phone. Oh, come on, Michael! For God's sake,
ever have a phone call?
What's happening?
With anybody?
Does he have to write out everything before he talks on the phone?
Oh my God!
He's just panicking here. All right, let's at least try to wrap this up and just say goodbye. And maybe he needs help. I don't know what happened, but it shouldn't be that hard.
That's what she said.
Hello.
Michael. It's us. It's us again. Don't hang up on us.
I'm sorry.
Big time executive in studio with us right now from TV Guide. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Michael Schneider joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at the start of 2014 and part two of the television season for the year. How are you, Michael?
So,
happy New Year.
Happy Wanuary, I guess.
Happy Wanuary.
That's what I hear.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
That Bachelor might be a good place to start. Those shows never get canceled, do they? They go on for 25, 30 rounds in a row, don't they?
It's kind of like how I see Beer Mug is still employed by you guys.
Yeah.
It just never changes. Some things never change. Yeah. And yeah, you know, Survivor is still on the air. It's been on for 13 years now.
Yeah.
And Amazing Race and all
American
these singing
Idol
shows. And so the problem is all these shows are still on the air and still doing okay enough that there's no room for new shows. And so we haven't seen Beyond the Voice a new hit in quite a while. And so reality TV's really gotten stale lately.
Because it's cheap to produce, so thereby it makes enough money to stay on.
And the ratings still are okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Amazing Race isn't what it once was. Neither is Survivor. American Idol isn't what it once was. But they still... most of the time win their time periods, especially in the demo. So it's they're going to stick around.
Now, we're all critical of TV and how much bad stuff is on. But in the network's defense, it's extraordinarily difficult to get any kind of show, even if it's good, to break through these days, isn't it? Isn't it a hard job to make a hit television show now?
Well, there's a lot now. There's a lot to watch, and so it's harder to cut through the clutter. And that's why you see a lot of these networks, they do these reboots. And that's why suddenly you're seeing shows that are redone, or you're seeing shows that are based on movies or on books or on, you know, know, pre-sold titles.
Right.
And we all sort of, you know, groan, oh, look, you know, what? You know, believe it or not, NBC is redeveloping Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, that's
for next year.
That seems like a great plan.
So at least you've heard of Murder, She Wrote, so maybe some people will tune in and see, okay, so how are they doing it differently? But ultimately, you're selling a show based on a title instead of whether or not this is actually going to be good or not.
Let's
so.
Start with the stuff that we're all looking forward to.
Okay.
What are you looking most forward to in the spring?
So I've already watched a couple episodes of this new show on HBO. It's called True Detective. It's
yes,
Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson, and they chew up every scene. These guys are great. It does seem to be the year of McConaughey, and unfortunately Ralph's not here to do his impersonation right now. But you know, he's great in it, and Woody's great in it, and you know, it's sort of your typical detective show about a murdered girl, but it's all about the relationship between these two. There's a by the book detective, and he's forced together with this new partner
who plays by his own rules.
No, the new partner is a little offbeat, a little strange. They don't quite get along, and
both of them could play the weirdo, though, right? Who plays the weirdo?
McConaughey's the weirdo.
Right.
He's got a dark past. And what's interesting about the show is it's told from flash forward, flashback. The murder mystery actually took place in 95, but you're seeing them interviewed in 2012, and a lot has changed. Neither of them are on the force anymore. Something weird has happened to McConaughey. He's drinking in the middle of the day, and he just doesn't care about things anymore.
When does that start?
That's starting very soon. I don't have the date in front of me.
All right, good. Glad to have you.
Maybe this Sunday.
Yeah.
This
Sunday.
Oh, all right.
So
yes, this Sunday, January 12th on HBO.
There
True Detective
there
is the name
go.
Of the show, right?
Yeah, yeah. They've also got Girls coming back, and Shameless is coming back on Showtime, and Episodes, and
that's
House
all
of
this
Lies.
Weekend.
That's all coming up. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And we also have the Golden Globes this weekend. It's going to be a busy weekend for television.
Let me ask this question. I think I know the answer, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners have cursed their television because there are too many things to even tape on Sunday night. Explain why they dump so much on Sunday that you can't watch it all, and there are some nights where there's literally nothing that's interesting on.
Well, Sunday night, you know, it's early in the week, so a lot of people now are DVRing the stuff and watching it later in the week, and as long as you watch it within the first couple of days, the networks still get paid for you watching those shows.
Yeah, but we can't record 8 shows.
You can record a bunch, though. I don't
have the genie.
I do have the genie, so.
You need the genie.
Well, you know, these days, though, you can catch up on video on demand, you can watch
but
it
Michael,
online.
But, Michael, my question is, why don't they put some of these shows, since so many people are DVRing, why don't they put some of them on Saturday where we tape nothing except for Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, well, no one's watching live TV on Saturday.
No,
so that's part of the problem.
Point is, you could record.
Yeah.
Why have many, many shows fighting for your DVR on one night?
No, it's a good question.
Monday
it's something we're
Tuesday
all. Everyone is. The problem is no one's going to blink. That's the marquee night, and so you know no network's going to say, you know what, I'm going to put my stuff on Saturday. You guys have the big night that everyone cares about. I'll put my stuff on
what
Saturday.
What about Monday? Where do the days go as far as the most watched and then least watched?
There's so much stuff now that every night there's a lot. I mean, okay. Monday's a big night too. Blacklist is a huge hit on Monday night.
When does that come back?
So that's coming back next week.
All right.
At least for the month until the Olympics come on. Thursday night's still a big night for television. That's the night that Big Bang Theory is on, and that's you know one of the most watched shows on TV.
But so. I would think another point, just to get back to one more thing on Sunday night, is if I have any kind of a show that I'm trying to get young men to watch, why would I put it on Sunday night opposite football? You know what I mean? For most of the season, up opposite NBC Sunday Night Football, which is the most watched show on TV. It just confounds me that they do it that way.
No, it's a good point. And the thing is, a lot of these shows do well on Sunday, so it boggles the mind how the so many shows are able to do okay on Sunday night. But it seems to work. I mean, HBO, some of their highest rated stuff, obviously, is on Sunday night. Now, some of the other networks, like FX, do sprinkle their shows throughout the week. You know, Sons of Anarchy is on Tuesday night,
Tuesday
for example.
Nights, right?
So
when does that come back?
So that won't be back for a while. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that just
ended.
I know, but I want more.
Let me ask you about one more. Michael Schneider in studio with us now from TV Guide. We're talking about, all the new shows that are debuting in January and the months ahead. Let me ask you about one more that I'm sort of excited about. Not that the promos have thrilled me, but I love Greg Kinnear so much. I want to see him in a show. It's called Rake. Have you seen that at all, Michael?
I have. And he's pretty good at it. They decided the original pilot that they sent out is now going to be the fourth episode because they wanted to explain the character a little anymore. But he's very much a sort of iconoclast, down on his luck kind of guy. But he's also a great lawyer. So even though he's living in the slums and you know, is owes a lot of money to his bookie, and he's sort of the typical anti-hero, but he's kind of charming at the same time. And he gets the ladies, and kind of just a fun character, almost as you know, sort of creepily, interestingly charming as Spader is in Blacklist. So if you like those kind of characters, he's a little more funny than Spader is. But
Spader's a laugh riot.
But you know, it's a good year for these movie actors who are doing these interesting characters in television, because you know, TV's where it's at now, and that all these actors are realizing that, hey, I can do some great work in television. I don't have to do a full 22 episode order.
I feel like Greg Kinnear is one of those actors who's so talented but has worked so infrequently, or at least he hasn't been doing things that I've been watching over the past few years. It just seems like he goes away for a long time between projects.
And the networks, they've been desperate to cast him for a while. He's one of those guys every year during pilot season. They're like, can we get Kinnear? Can we get Kinnear? And finally, he committed this year. And so this show, it's based on an Australian show that's actually a big hit in Australia. So it was kind of a known quantity. And again, going back to what I was saying, everything now that's sold pretty much is a known quantity. But it's a strong show. And I enjoyed it, so keep your eye out for it.
That is going to be debuting on January 19th, by the way, the same night for you, Kevin, that Sherlock comes back on PBS, because I know you
so
love that
good.
One as well.
Sherlock's great.
On BBC All right. America or PBS?
PBS, it says here, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. It's on after Downton, Kevin. I know you're a huge Downton fan.
I don't watch
Downton
that show. but that Sherlock, you watch that one time and you go, there's very little in America that's that good.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing is they only do like three episodes a season. I mean, they're long, like 2-hour episodes, but they're so fantastic, so well crafted, and Cumberbatch is amazing.
What is Kevin's TV going to say if he tries to put it on PBS? It's going to look at him and it's going to go, what the F, Kevin?
It's a serious. And go, nope.
I don't know you anymore. All right. Michael Snyder is here from TV Guide Magazine. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at Franklin Avenue or TVGM Schneider. That's what you want to check out. And franklinavenue.net, tvguide.com. More with our guest after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kick.
What that guy just said really, 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 really fast. It's 7:35, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
We are talking about our favorite topic in the world, television, with our friend Mike Snyder from TV Guide Magazine. I shouldn't be surprised that shows like American Idol are still on, like we talked about a little while ago. But at some point, aren't they just a shell of them for their former selves? I mean, they can barely keep a panel together anymore. It just seems like the ratings go down every year. Is it just that no matter how bad the ratings do for American Idol, it's still better than anything new they could put on?
Yeah, you got it. I mean, the ratings are still big. It's a shell of what it used to be. But remember, it was so big. It was such a monster that if even a fraction of the people show up, it's still big enough of a hit. And I think they'd, every year sort of convince themselves, hey, we got a new panel, and this is the panel that's going to make all the difference in the world. Harry Connick Jr., he's amazing.
Right.
Actually, he's you know, if you still like that kind of stuff, it actually looks to be a pretty good panel this year on American Idol. They all seem to get along. There's no Randy anymore saying, you know, welcome to Hollywood Dog, which is a refreshing change.
Yes.
And you know, J-Lo's still hot, and you know, they you know, it looks like they're having fun for a change.
I can only watch karaoke when I'm drunk. I mean, really, that's it.
Well, that's a good 90% of the time, right,
Kevin? Thank you, Michael.
Everyone probably has their favorite show that no one watches and they can't understand why. And mine is Parks and Recreation. I think that is the funniest show on television.
I would agree with you. That's a great show.
Every week, it amazes me how many jokes per minute are in that show and how great the acting is and how clever they are. But it seems like that's one of those shows that's only on because NBC wants a relationship with Amy Poehler.
Well, and you know,
wait, the ratings are bad for that?
Yeah, you look at the
terrible.
You look at the ratings.
Always have been.
And this is why we can't have nice things, America, because we're not watching quality comedy like that. So you know, shows like that and New Girl and
New Girls is always funny.
Yeah, but it just does okay in the ratings. And you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is actually a great new show.
Right?
Again, just doing in the ratings.
Community. Tell me what that's about. What's that about, Michael?
Well, I mean, part of it is just I think people's tastes in comedy are so varied now. So the good news is we have all these different kinds of comedy. So whatever you're interested in, if you like sort of big, broad, big bang style comedy, that's there, and that's a smash hit. If you like some, you know, really out there stuff, there's some great stuff on Comedy Central, obviously. Key and Peele is fantastic.
That is great.
If you like sort of smart with heart, then Parks and Rec or Community.
You smoke a lot of weed, you get Adult Swim.
Exactly. So you don't have everyone with the same kind of comedic taste the way maybe drama hits everyone the same way. You know, either it's you're going to, you know, be thrilled or your tears are going to be jerked or what have you. But we all kind of have the same reaction to drama, but we all have very different tastes in comedy.
Speaking of dramas, The Americans. Was a show, I believe it was on in the early 90s.
Yeah. It seems like it's been gone a while, doesn't
exactly. it? Exactly. It was actually a documentary about the Russians in the 80s.
That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened?
It's coming back.
When?
It's coming back very soon, in a couple weeks.
Oh, my God. It's been a long time.
Yeah. No, it's
and they only did like 9 episodes or something. It was ridiculous. Come on, we need some work ethic. It's work ethic here.
But all of those episodes were great.
They were great.
I believe they did 13, and they all were fantastic. And again, that's what they'll do this season. So things are going to be even with the family. Things are getting more intense on that show.
Fantastic.
And so I'm looking forward to that.
Right. Let me just throw out some of the new titles that we've all seen the promos for, and you help us decide whether there's something we should even make time to check out. Okay, one of them aired last night. Killer Women. What about that? This is female Texas Rangers, apparently, with Trisha Helfer, by the way, who we love, who we've had in here from Battlestar Galactica. That caught my interest. Is it any good?
So, it's what you expect. It's, you know, do you watch ABC? Do you watch Revenge? Do you watch Scandal? Do you watch those kind of shows? Then you probably should check out Killer Women. But if you don't, then it's probably not for you.
Okay.
How about Intelligence that also debuted last night with Josh Holloway from Lost?
Well, it's great to see Josh Holloway back on TV. And, it's very much a CBS sort of, you know, if you like Person of Interest, if you like Chuck, it's sort of a grown-up Chuck where, you know, he's got this computerized mind and he can, you know, sort of figure out crimes and things like that. But I think you watch it to see Josh Holloway. So if you're charmed by him, then tune in.
Dick Wolf, the Law & Order creator, is back with a new show that debuts tonight called Chicago PD. Now, there's already a Chicago Fire, but this is different, right?
But this is a spinoff. It's the same world. And actually, some of the characters from Chicago Fire are showing up on Chicago PD. And he's kind of creating this whole new franchise. You know, he was behind all those Law & Order shows. Now he's trying to do the same thing with the Chicago franchises.
Is it worth
it? Do you like Chicago Fire?
I haven't watched it.
Okay. Well, then you probably won't watch Chicago PD either. But if you like
Chicago... I mean, you only have so much time.
Right. But if you like Chicago Fire, then it's probably worth checking out. And if you like that kind of storytelling, it's, you know, Dick Wolf, you know, Law & Order was famous for being contained stories. But with Chicago Fire, it was sort of contained stories, but the whole soap opera behind these people.
Right.
So Chicago PD is very much the same way, sort of these procedural stories, but then there's a larger soap opera about the characters in the precinct.
Speaking of
Michael
soap
Stetter
opera.
Did just say Dick Wolf, didn't he?
I know
he
did.
You said woof.
Woof.
No one will care about this but me. Spoils of Babylon. Did you see that?
Well, then don't ask.
Because, that was going to be the one I was going to bring up next because that's on two nights from now. Yeah. That's on IFC.
Yeah. They actually had the premiere last night, which I know some of your folks attended. So we were just talking about that back in the office. Kristen Wiig. Can't go wrong with Kristen
Wiig. I love her, too. I don't even know what this
is. It's a parody of the, you know, sort of those crazy miniseries, the sweeping sort of Winds of War kind of miniseries. But you know, it's got that IFC twist on it and that Kristen Wiig twist. So so that one I think is worth.
She seems like she's good. She makes anything better.
We love the Kristen Wiig.
Ralph's gonna make us watch Helix.
Yes, we were talking about that backstage.
No, that looks good to me.
So, you know, there are just so many shows to watch, and so I haven't had a chance to see that one yet.
But
the reviews have been fantastic.
Okay, good.
So,
all right. Is America, Michael Stenner from TV Guide, ready for a pirate show? Talk to me about Black Sails on Stars that premieres January 25th.
Yes. Black Sails. So Stars has been doing these sort of period dramas for a while, and this is sort of their latest one, their pirate one. Is America ready for it? NBC has this show called Crossbones that's also coming on that Malkovich is going to be in.
Okay.
So we're about to see a lot of pirate shows. So get ready
dear
for
God.
That.
I'm not positive I'm ready for that.
All right, let's talk about another segment of television viewing, and that is late night, because it's not very often that we get a change in host in a late night show. If you get a job like that, you usually hang on to it for a long time. But we're going to have two switches coming up in the next couple of months, right?
Right.
Leno's finally going away for real this time, and I hope they shoot him in the head as he walks out so that he can't come back finally this time, right?
So he's never going to go away. I'm sorry, yeah. Dean. He's not going away.
What do you think he'll do?
Yeah, that's a good first question.
Yeah, there's some options. You know, there's talk of him maybe going to CNN and doing a half-hour monologue every night. That audience loves their Jay Leno.
I guess they do.
It could fit there. But I think there's also – I think NBC may try to keep him in the family. You know, they own USA Network. I think that's a possibility maybe he does a nightly monologue show at 11 o'clock on USA Network. But I don't think he goes away. I think NBC would love to keep him in the family and maybe just do quarterly specials.
He's a red flag for me. I don't like him much.
He's still number one, though. So yep. there is middle America that loves him.
They tried to make Conan work at 11:30 and bailed, I think, too quickly. They pulled the plug on him. How are they feeling? Obviously, they're feeling good now because he hasn't debuted yet. But how are they feeling that Jimmy Fallon will do at 11:30?
I think they feel that he's a little more of a mainstream hit. You know, he's very populist. He loves pop culture. It's less the hipper than thou. You know, he sort of is just so enthusiastic about everything he does. And I think there's that real positive vibe from him and his show.
Yeah, so I think, and he's pretty off the wall at times.
Yeah, so I think they're feeling that he'll keep the older viewers who like Leno because he's generally a upbeat kind of guy. But he's also hip, and you know, he's when he does his history of rap and he does his slow jam in the news and some of the cool things that he does also brings in some younger viewers. So I think they're hoping that they're going to get both crowds.
To me, that's some real competition for our friend Jimmy Kimmel to have Jimmy Fallon, because I think they're both real. They have real youth appeal.
Yeah, no,
both of those shows.
Both Jimmys are great, but don't forget, you know, Kevin mentioned Adult Swim. That's actually the number one show in late night among young men. So a lot of people are watching Adult Swim. A lot of people are watching Daily Show and Colbert. And so it's
the reason people watch Adult Swim is because they put on 5-minute shows. Like I can record a 1-hour block and I get like 30 shows.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
All right, and just to put a fine point on this, so Fallon leaves, and then Seth Meyers from SNL, he moves into that slot. What kind of hope should we have for his new show?
I think Seth's going to try to do a different kind of show. He's not. It sounds like he's not going to have a band. He's not going to have an announcer. You know, he'll probably do some headlines, some of the stuff that we know him from Saturday Night Live doing. But I think it's going to be a smaller, sort of simpler show. But he's a smart guy.
Like Craig Ferguson.
Like Craig Ferguson, exactly. But he's a really smart guy, and he's got some great interests. I mean, he loves sports. He loves comedy. And I think it's just going to be a different kind of show, which is what we need. That you know, there are too many shows that look all alike at late night. So I hope he does something really different.
Before we say goodbye, because we are out of time, Duck Dynasty.
Yes.
How can we make that go away?
Oh, no, I'm starting to like that.
Yeah.
I'm coming around on it.
I hate to say it, but I think this next season is going to be bigger than ever. Don't you think?
Last season, they got 10 million people to watch that show.
But then this controversy came, and now everyone's going to want to tune in and see, well, you know, how they're not going to address it. They already shot the season, but it doesn't matter. People are going to tune in to see anyway.
But anybody that's watched 1 minute of this family was not surprised by that scandal.
Not
at
all.
Really, you just go, look, you know who they are.
Yeah, exactly. It's your crazy uncle who you kind of just cringe when you see during the holidays. All right, you know, I'm sorry, you know, don't, I'm not going on your blog.
All right, we are out of time. My last question is, what is it that you want to get the word out about that just doesn't seem like anyone is paying attention to?
Well, you know,
the new show, old show.
Things that I'm really looking forward to. You know, besides, we didn't talk about the return of 24, Live Another Day. That's going to be great. There's a remake of Fargo that FX is doing that you know, Kate Walsh, Billy Bob Thornton's in. So check that out. That's coming later in the year. There's a new show called Manhattan coming to WGN America, which is a network that's just starting.
Okay.
CW has something called The 100 with Isaiah Washington and Kelly Hu. So
you have to watch all these shows for your job, Michael.
I do. Mad Men, can't wait for season 7, first half of the final season. That's coming in the spring. And then, of course, House of Cards comes back. Orange is the New Black comes back. Orphan Black is coming back, season 2.
Yes. Orphan Black is so good.
So there's a good... Stay at home, guys.
Exactly. Got to quit my job to keep up.
All we're going to be doing is watching TV.
TVGuide.com or FranklinAvenue.net and follow Mr. Schneider on Twitter at Franklin Avenue. Great to see you, sir. Happy New Year.
Thanks, guys.
Guitar. Nice. Mouth guitar.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
That's the guy. Our pal Rob Delaney joins us in studio right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob has the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
Yeah, and thinking about Rob coming in to talk about his stand-up dates at the Improv on Melrose made me think that I have not yet thanked the folks who came out on New Year's Eve for Hollywood Babylon at
How'd
the Brea
go?
Improv. We had two sold-out shows on New Year's Eve, Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show, and a ton, obviously, of K-Rock and Kevin and Bean listeners were there, so we had a blast.
Any drink or anything like that?
There was some drinking involved.
Some involved.
Yes.
Okay.
It was so funny. I was talking to Michael Schneider in the other room, who listens to Babylon, and he was listening to the podcast from the first show that we did, that we've just posted.
Right.
And he said, what's the second one like? We haven't put the 10 o'clock show up yet. We will. I said, it's different in the sense that not only was I incredibly drunk, but in between shows, Kevin said, let's go talk about the next show. Let's chat. And the only place we could find, which was a secretive location where Kevin could light up.
Sure.
Was this tiny little room about the size of a phone booth.
So you were drunk and high?
So we're talking to each other. We're talking and we're chatting. We're having a great time. And I get out on stage for the second show and I'm like, holy crap, I just realized I am so high right now. I had a full-blown contact high. So it was not the best of conditions to be working under.
Awesome.
It was a good time. Anyway, we will be coming back to the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood this Friday night at 10 p.m. So if you'd like to come see the first new Babylon of the new year, 2014, you can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com or babylonkev.com.
Nope.
Improv.com, did I mention that?
You did.
Nope.
Here's another reason Kevin loves Neil Young. Neil Young, one of Kevin's favorite singer-songwriters.
He sucks balls.
Can't start talking about how much he loves
Maybe
Neil
your
Young.
Favorite ever, Kevin?
He's terrible.
Of people who sing?
He's a terrible singer.
Only his songs, it's his voice you love.
Oh,
right?
his voice is what really drives me crazy.
Because you know he's a great singer.
I don't even listen to his songs. They might be great songs, but his voice makes me want to take my own life.
Hey, my.
Just come on with that.
That's Neil Young.
Write some songs and give them to somebody who can sing.
Neil opened his four-night run on Monday night at the historic Carnegie Hall in New York City.
All right, not everybody agrees with me.
These are all acoustic shows. Just Neil on guitar or piano. That's it.
Oh, good.
Him, just his voice, his beautiful voice. In Carnegie Hall singing his...
No other musicians to cover up that voice.
Drown him out. Just...
It's better to fade out than to die.
Just that for... couple hours.
That's terrible.
New York Times said Neil is a cranky performer these days.
Oh, is that right?
And one of his songs, people started clapping along.
Which they like to do at concerts.
They do like to do. Apparently, Neil thought they were not quite on beat, however. So he stopped his song and yelled out, wrong!
You wonder that, because at every concert, when a crowd starts clapping, they start speeding up. And they really do go the wrong tempo for every song.
Yeah. He yelled, wrong!
That's hilarious. I have seen Bruce Springsteen stop a song and ask people, please don't clap along, because it's hard for him to keep the beat if there's a bigger, louder beat in his face.
Neil Young said, it's something you probably don't know, but there's a hell of a distance between you and me. So I guess he was saying it was the reverb, what he was hearing off of the back.
Probably
of the
was a little later
was a little off. Then some folks in the balcony started shouting out song requests.
What?
Uh-oh.
Neil once again stopped the show and started screaming at them up in the balcony. Are you guys finished? No. You paid real good money to get in here, so you should be able to listen to each other.
Go, Grandpa.
Now
Go,
I'm
Grandpa.
In.
Nothing better than when an artist is yelling at the audience.
Now I want to watch him. But he's losing it.
And congratulations to Madonna. She's got another boyfriend. She just broke up with Brahim Zaybot.
Hated to see that. Those
two
look
magical.
Like happy.
She got the latest model of that.
She does.
The Zaybot.
Yet another younger man in her life. Timor Stephans is his name. Timor. T-I-M-O-R. Timor is his
Isn't
name.
Isn't that one of the Lion King characters? Right.
I'm not
I don't
sure.
Know.
Timon.
That's Timon, yeah, right. He's the pig, or is he the
he's
meerkat?
The pig. Nope,
he's the meerkat. He's the meerkat. Yeah, 26 years old. 26 years old.
Come on.
Works as a backup dancer, of course.
All right.
That's all she bangs is backup dancers. Sure.
Let me ask Lisa, because you roll your eyes when it's an embarrassing 55-year-old man dating a 25-year-old girl. Is it just as gross in reverse?
Yes.
Not to me. Okay. I say good for her.
No, I mean, it's fine if that's what she wants.
She's
it's
Madonna,
fine.
You know. She's one of the few 55-year-old women who could probably pull that. So yeah. Good for her, I guess. You got the money, got the fame.
Sure.
Take advantage. But still, Tim Moore.
His name is more offensive than anything.
Tim Moore.
The last one was Zybot. Brahim Zybot. Now she's Tim Moore, Stephans. How about just Joe? Joe Clark. Joe Smith.
She just picks by name. Something exotic sounding.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bob Eubanks, game show host extraordinaire, 76 years old today. Stephen Hawking, physicist, 72, but he's partying hardy today on his birthday.
Oh, he goes crazy.
He does go nuts. Robbie Krieger, The Doors, 68 years old today. Singer David Bowie is 67. R. Kelly's 47. Reggae singer Sean Paul is 41 years old. Sarah Pauly, the actress, is 35 years old. And actress Rachel Nichols is 34. And you should have heard, boys and girls, Bean explaining how he and Rachel Nichols broke up.
Yeah, that was magic.
And they don't have a relationship anymore, apparently.
No, we still have a relationship. We're still friends. We're just not lovers anymore. That's all I was saying.
Right, and Ralph's point was, describe lovers.
What a rich plus, fantasy life you have is my point.
Plus, she's engaged to some other dude now. She thinks he's going to make me jealous. I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
All right, that's creepy.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's got her sights set firmly on you, Bean.
Everything she'll come around.
Every move is
you
about you.
Every time she has to walk to her car in a darkened parking lot, she's just looking over her shoulder for Bean just at any minute. Poor woman. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Welcome to Larry King Now. Our special guest, Rob Delaney, writer and stand-up comic. He has more than 979,000 followers on Twitter. Comedy Central named him the funniest person on Twitter. His book, Mother, Wife, Sister, Human, Warrior, Falcon, Yardstick, Turban Cabbage is out now.
First of all, you got Larry King to say the word falcon and turban. Bless you, Rob Delaney.
Along with cabbage. Love it.
I watched that interview, and I want you to tell me if my instincts are correct, that he had no idea who you were.
None whatsoever. Certainly, right? He had no idea. And since he just read the book title correctly, when he first took it, he said, "What is about garbage?" At the end, and they go, "Larry, we got to take that again." And he goes, "Why?" And he goes, "Because you said garbage and it's cabbage." He goes, "Okay."
Now, let me ask you this question, because mm-hmm. we get the sheets of paper with some info, some bio info, so you can kind of study. Does mm-hmm. he have anything like that, or does he care?
He does have info in front of him, so he has some sort of frame of reference, but he tells you right up front, he goes, "No, I want you to know, I didn't read the book." He goes, "I never do before I have a guest on."
Well, that's his thing.
Yeah, and it is his thing.
Bean, I think, knows better than I do that he likes to not have any information so he can ask questions that the audience would probably ask, I guess.
Hey, it's worked for him. The guy's been interviewing on TV for 50 years. Yeah. Obviously, he knows what he's doing.
It did feel, and because with the book to press, I did so much press, and I did see there are people who know how to interview and then people who don't. And so somebody who does, it is actually a pleasure. So, you know, he's certainly an esoteric and unique guy, but he knows what he's doing. So I felt safe in his
old wilty hands.
When I realized he had never heard of you before you walked mm-hmm. in the door, I was really fascinated to watch the interview. And he is a goddamn professional because he was clearly well-prepped.
Yeah.
And he has great instincts mm-hmm. in terms of knowing where to take a conversation. I mean, he was really smart to kind of pick up on some of the stuff. And I think he was genuinely – I mean, you got a fascinating story, Rob. Anyone who read your book knows what you've been through to this point. And I think – I mean, I think he genuinely was interested in talking to you.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Now, one of my favorite things that happened was picture 95-year-old Larry King who decides that he's going to start reading some of your tweets.
I was screaming when he did. I couldn't control myself. It was so insane.
Oh, my God.
Just to hear something that you wrote probably sitting on the toilet in your home, mm-hmm. and now Larry King is reading it for international internet audience. But was that kind of a tough spot to be in as a comedian where you were kind of asked to add on to something that was already
already kind of complete, something that was already kind of finished and funny the way you left it.
I mean, it wasn't – I don't know if it was entertaining to watch, but I will say I can happily theorize in a comedy basement about why a joke is funny for 3 days.
So right.
I didn't mind doing – I don't know if people watch that and were like, oh, I don't want to see the sausage made. But for me, I love to talk about sausage.
Did you get – Rob is weird. I don't know if you follow him or not, but he's a weirdo, and that's why we like him a lot. But did you get the idea that he found your tweets funny?
I think a couple of them he did. I think a couple of them he didn't, and he was frank. He was like, I don't know what the hell does that mean. You know?
And one makes me not want to go home.
which, by the way, rhymed with my tweet, which was pretty cool. So he could freestyle if he needed to.
Well, let me play a couple of these. Rob DeLady is here, by the way. I forgot to get the business out of the way first. Okay. The reason Rob is here is not because he's any fan of Kevin Embiid. It's because he wants you to buy tickets to go see him this Saturday night. He's going to be on stage at the Hollywood Improv for two shows, 8 yep. o'clock and 10 o'clock. By the way, with some very funny special guests joining you this weekend, Rob.
Yeah, we got Andy Richter will be there, and Steve Agee, and Jamie
nice.
Lee, who's on The Girl Code on MTV. She's brilliant. And Shelby Farrow, who isn't even 21 years old. I don't know how we're going to get her in the club. She's
All right.
a kid, but she's very funny.
Tickets are available through improv.com. That's this Saturday night, two shows, 8 and 10. Go to improv.com. All right, let's hear a couple of Larry reading Rob's tweets, because I love this.
John Boehner, I like to watch sturdy women play volleyball.
Just something about hearing it in Larry's voice.
It's so superior to my voice.
You need to hire him to read all of your tweets for you.
All
right, here's another.
Prior to eating on Thanksgiving, you tweeted, flushing buckets of protein powder and gristle grain down my toilet to get it warmed up for the main event.
All right, Rob was doing some traveling. That's where this one came from.
JetBlue, guy in a seat 4A on this flight to Austin is snoring, and it sounds like a donkey farting into a bowl of mayonnaise. Shame on you.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
Oh, I can't get enough.
That's the
Atlanta,
best.
Georgia, you're on the air. Shame on you. All right, here's my favorite. I think this is the one that really, really confused Larry.
Fun to think that behind every pretty face is a skull that will shriek in a box for millennia.
Just magnificent.
And then he's like, well, when you put it that way, I guess it's true.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book. We're never rude. We don't cop out.
All right.
We don't tell you that we're ill
right,
or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert.
All right, Larry.
Or that we're parched.
Okay.
We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway?
What are you talking about?
If you're
about?
A guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses.
I don't know what's happening right now.
He is a legend.
What's with the zombies?
That's a good question, Larry. All right, Rob DeLady is here. We must take a quick break. Hollywood Improv, two shows, 8 and 10 p.m. this Saturday night. Go to improv.com. Buy your tickets, just $20 more with Rob after this on K-Rock.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
You probably heard that on our show. That is originally from Rob DeLady.
Yeah.
Who's in our studios. He was in his car, and for some reason, he decided to make a vine of him singing that song and put it out, and it just cracked us up. So we've played that 1,000 times since.
Yeah, you provided a lot of hours of entertainment
so
for us,
happy.
Rob.
I was singing along in the car, and I was like, well, I don't sound good, I thought.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Rob DeLady is here because he's on stage at the Hollywood Improv for two big shows, although we're now being told that the first show, the 8 o'clock, already sold out, ladies and gentlemen.
Correct,
so
yes.
So your work is almost done here, Rob, but we're going to keep you on the air until the 10 o'clock show is sold out. People can go to improv.com and buy their tickets for just $20. By the way, speaking of your singing, I know you love musical theater.
Big fan.
Did you watch The Live Sound of Music?
Oh, you know, I was on stage in Portland when that happened, so I couldn't watch it. I was so upset, but before I went on stage and right after, I caught the tail end of it, and I was just reading everybody's tweets about what a train wreck it was, and I watched it later, but I didn't get to watch it live.
Now let me ask you a question. Are you more excited when you hear how bad it is, or did you really want it to be good?
I wanted it to be good, you know?
Because like Sharknado, that was a project.
Yeah.
That really, really sucked, but it was so bad. It was sweet.
Well, I know, like, you're looking at me, and I'm dirty. I don't smell good. I'm bearded. I'm wearing a heavy metal T-shirt.
You haven't showered in about a week.
Yeah, I look like a mess. But I actually, the last 2 years, I've gone to the live Sound of Music sing-along at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh.
So that's... I met my wife doing a production of the Sound of Music in Massachusetts. Oh, not
Who
kidding.
Were you? Who were you in that?
Admiral von Schreiber, the head Nazi.
Right.
Which I should say, when you remember when you first heard, like, you could Google yourself?
Yeah.
And we were all like, oh, wow, I'll Google myself. The first thing that came up is me in full Nazi regalia, complete with swastika armband, like, rounding up some kids.
Was there any explanation or just a photo?
Just a picture. They hadn't, like, linked it all up yet. This was in, like, 2004. And I was like, oh, God. So it was very difficult for me to date Jewish women for a while.
That's going to hurt
my bookings in the South. After that.
Hey, Rob, were you in the Nazi outfit literally when you met your wife?
No, in fact, no.
Oh, because that would have been a wonderful, beautiful story.
No, you know what? We were in bathing suits because it was the summer, and I saw her in a bathing suit, and I was like, hello, I would like to marry you. And then we found out that we were both cast in that show. And she looked good in a bikini. What I'm saying
is... That's a beautiful story. By the way, based on your Twitter avatar, you do not look good in a bikini.
Not really. There's a lot of hair. I have like a hair hurricane around my belly button. It looks
you have a hurricane.
Do you know somebody one time superimposed Ken Burns' face with his weird little beard on my stomach, and it fit perfectly. So... Yeah, maybe my stomach will make a documentary about the Civil War.
Now, it's hard to tell when you talk to a guy like Rob Delaney, who is a comedian, what he says is real and what he says to be funny. But in your deepest, darkest hopes and wishes and dreams, mm-hmm. do you want to be a legitimate musical theater star? Like, if you could be in a real, not comedy, but real show on Broadway, is that something you'd want to do?
Without question, and I will be surprised if at some point I don't do that. I might write a musical because I've become very selfish now and like a despot now that
sure.
I write most of the stuff that
now
I perform.
Now you need to write something that you can star in.
Yeah, so it might be something that I write, but that's what I went to college for, and I love musical theater, so it is...
Yeah, that's your degree, right, is in musical theater.
Yeah, I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Musical Theater.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I like the way you say that.
And hanging out in the musical theater locker room with other men. But I'm sure I will.
That would be so crazy for us to – I mean, I know it's unfair for us to try to pigeonhole you, but mm-hmm. your comedy's Rob Delaney. It would just be so weird for us to see
comedy
you
up there. It would be weird. Yeah, no, it totally would be. I'm sure there's
comedy and national anthem singers, Rob Delaney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Before we go, and one more chance for people to go to improv.com, buy tickets to see you this Saturday night for $20 at 10. How's the book doing? Last time we had you in was for Rob Delaney, Mother, Wife, Sister, Human, Warrior, Falcon, Yardstick, Turban, Cabbage, or Garbage, depending on which version you right. bought. How's the book doing for
you? It's going really well, thank you. A British publisher picked it up, so now you can get it in Australia, New Zealand, and the UK. And it just yesterday I found out it went into its fifth printing after being out for 2 months.
You're like a worldwide brand now.
Yeah,
happening?
It's crazy. Yeah, so I'm just so – I know that I wrote it because I remember writing it.
Right.
And I had time to believe and prepare for the fact that it would be published. So that didn't like knock my socks off.
Right.
But the fact that people are reading it is incredibly shocking to me. I can't believe it.
Do you think you have another one in you, or do you think you're out now?
Yeah, I will write another book. It probably won't be about me, because I'm not curious about myself anymore, having written that one. I was like, oh, the well is dry. So it'll be something else, you know.
How many words was this book, Rob? Do you know?
It was about 70,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because we're talking to Carolla next. He just finished his third book, and we're going to ask him about it when he comes on. It's over 90,000 words. And
That
just sounds so daunting, and maybe if you're just writing a few a day, it just adds up. But that, even 70,000 just sounds like a tremendous uphill climb.
It truly is. Yeah. No, I mean, 90,000, I'm like, wow, because mine was 70,000, which is 20,000 less. So I'm impressed.
Could I just speak up for the dumber people out there when I say I read like 10 days, like 10 words a day?
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're saying that kind of book, that's a commitment.
It really is. But the good news is that means you only have to buy like 3 books for the rest of your life.
That's true. That's a good point.
Economical.
You're set. All right, Rob. Well, listen, we're out of time, unfortunately. You have a great time at the Hollywood Improv with your little friends on Saturday night at 10.
I hope
our listeners will buy tickets. And the next time we see you, and we always love having you on the show, you will have been to England?
Yeah, I'm going to England
and
for
shot
a month.
Show?
Yeah, I'm going to go shoot a pilot in England that I wrote with a friend of mine. Yeah.
Worldwide brand. What's happening?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Well, thanks for coming in, Rob. We
appreciate
it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
By the way, two of the fighters on the card for the upcoming UFC 170, Daniel Cormier and Sarah McCann, are both going to be in studio with us coming up in about 20 minutes or so. So if you're a UFC fan, definitely stick around for that. That should be fun. In the meantime, Adam Carolla joins us for the first time in 2014. Tickets are on sale now to see the Ace Man with special guest Joe Coy on stage at Treasure Island Theater in Las Vegas. Tickets available for just $35 and are available through treasureisland.com. That's coming up February 21st. And you can see Adam this Friday night at a screening of The Hammer. Now, this is your movie from 3 or 4 years ago, Ace Man. Why are you doing another screening now?
Ileana Douglas, you know, from all those Scorsese films with the crazy great eyes, is doing the second look feature where she takes films that she likes that she thought got overlooked, and then she re-shows them along with the people, the C-listers who made them.
So, in other words, she's going to be at Cine Family. Is that where it is? It's going to be Cine Family?
I'll be there, and we'll see the movie and give a little Q&A afterward.
Adam, of course, wrote the movie and starred in the film, cinefamily.org, if you want to buy tickets to join him this Friday night. The Ace Man joins us every week here on the Kevin DeBean Show for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting off with my new book, President Me, available for pre-order on Amazon as we speak.
Congrats.
Just a little plug for the Ace Man. And now on to the comedy business. Number three, my dog. I noticed something, and I think this holds true for all dogs. Bean, Kevin, I think you'll back me on this one. I was heading up my driveway a couple days ago. My dog, Molly, was laying in the driveway. She's apt to do. I honked my horn. She looked at me like, what do you want from me? Like, I was going to do like Fred Flintstone, put my feet through the floorboard, pick the car up, step over her, and go to the other side of the driveway.
Right.
Then I honked again, and she sort of got up very gingerly, and she looked at me, and she meandered out of the way slowly. I'm talking slower than a black pedestrian. And at another point, turned back around and stood in front of the car again. And I said, gee, she's not scared of cars at all. This is 6,000 pounds.
That's cat behavior.
Of German. I know, this is cat behavior. But dogs aren't sufficiently frightened of things that will kill them. But I'll tell you, you want my dog to go scurrying out of the room at jackrabbit speed? Fire up a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, sure.
Now, this is the height of stupidity. Because one thing is made of plastic and will do nothing to you. And the other thing is made of steel and will eviscerate you. But one thing you're not scared of, and the other thing you are scared of. And then I realized anyone who wants to rob a house with guard dogs, just bring a dustbuster. That's all you need. You could be standing on a lawn and trained Rottweilers could be running at you, and all you have to do is fire up the dustbuster, and they'll hightail it out of there. Why are dogs scared S-less of hair dryers and vacuum cleaners, the two things that will do nothing to them?
I don't know. That's weird.
Why are they scared of cars? Hair dryers are your friend. They make you fluffy and manageable.
I'm going to rob a house with a hairdryer.
That's all you need is a hairdryer.
Great idea.
You can get into any home. All right. And speaking of dogs, I got another question. This one's for you, Bean. I was walking my dog along one of those trails where sometimes the horse, you know, like in Glendale or places like that, there are horse trails. And you walk your dog on. And as I bent over to pick up my dog's poo, I stepped in a big pile of horse duke, and then I realized, you know, the only crap we're not required to pick up is the biggest crap of all, horse crap. How come it's no problemo if you just let a metric ton of horse dung go out on a trail, but if my chihuahua takes a dump, you'll give me the stink eye if I don't pick it up?
That's true.
What is that?
Maybe it's too much to pick up.
Well, listen, work it out, number one. Number two, you should be the ones picking it up. You get to ride your pet.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I only ride my dog when I'm drunk. I almost never ride my dog these days since her hip, you know, got bad. I it's more of a weekend thing.
Sure.
But if I rode her, I would be more than happy to pick up her crap. Now, I walk her, and I still pick up her crap. You guys ride your pet, and you don't have to pick up their crap. And what's wrong with that little sack they put on them, like when they do the carriage rides at Central Park? Shouldn't there be a rule in a land of laws? Los Angeles is one big law.
Right.
Everyone's got to pick up their poo.
Right.
How about a law that says your horse has to have that little doggy bag that hangs off their butt and catches the poo like they do in Central Park.
Horses are exempt. You're right.
It does seem like a great inequity, and I'm right there with you 100% of the time. I mean, I walk down trails with horses all the time, and sometimes you can't get down the trail without stepping in horse poop. There's so much of it, but they just get to leave it. You're right.
Strap on the bag, baby. Let's make it a law. And last but not least, number one, may sound a little controversial, but I think I'm on to something. I was out to dinner with my wife a week ago. We were sitting there talking finances. I was explaining to her that I was going to die 10 years before her and that she should start saving some of my money so that her and her trophy husband could spend it when I'm gone. And at that very moment, the waiter came by, dropped the salads off, and said, "Would you like some fresh pepper from the pepper mill?" And we both said, "Yes, we would like some fresh pepper." And then he said, like any waiter would, "Well, ladies first." And he leaned over toward my wife with the pepper mill, and I said, "Hold on. I just had this discussion where I was going to die 10 years earlier.
Right.
Maybe I should get the pepper first." Now, hear me out.
You don't have that kind of time to wait?
Well, what I'm saying is if we're on a sinking ship, we can all agree women and children first because the women are going to live longer.
Right.
Let them get on the lifeboat first. But when it comes to the pepper mill, we're going to die first. How about we enjoy our salad?
There you go.
But, Adam, I mean, you're talking about 10 seconds.
Yeah, but over the course of a lifetime, it adds up to like 40 seconds.
That's an excellent point. You can pre-order
Kevin,
President
B.
Sorry.
It's yes. A symbolic gesture for the man who gives all for his family.
I got you. Understood. President B is Adam Carolla's forthcoming book. You can pre-order it through the Amazon link at adamcarolla.com. Don't miss him on stage at the Treasure Island Theater in Las Vegas, February 21st. Tickets available now at treasureisland.com. And a screening with his good friend Ileana Douglas of The Hammer. That's this Friday night. Go to cinefamily.org. adamcarolla.com is where you want for all the information. Thank you, Ace Man, for coming on. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Come on now.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the best showbiz beat ever.
Thank you so much. We give everybody a heads up that Friday night at 10 p.m., it is the first Hollywood Babylon of the new year. Kevin Smith and I are returning to the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com. And Friday night, 10 p.m., come out and join us as we talk all things show business, including Kanye West's new lawsuit. He is suing the creators of a new online currency. You may be familiar with the term Bitcoin. You may have heard about that. It's some sort of BS online currency. There is a new currency online now that you can use. The creators named it Kanye West. Kanye West.
Now, is that just a joke? I mean, or are they really trying?
It's a clever little name.
Right,
for it.
But are they trying
something
seriously?
They're launching this actual online currency that they've coined Kanye West.
So they really want it to work.
But it doesn't have anything to do with Kanye. It's not like a futures game where you're betting on his career or anything like that.
It has nothing to do with it. It's just a currency used for purchases and transactions, just like Bitcoin. Huh. Kanye West, surprisingly not amused by the tribute.
He usually has such a good sense of humor.
He does like it when people sort of take shots at him and have fun with him. But in this particular case, he's having his lawyers file a cease and desist order against the creators of Kanye West. And so in response, the creators have changed the name of the currency to simply Kanye. Now, who knows whether that will be a trademark infringement or not, but they did launch it yesterday, so the new money's available online. If you want to get Kanye, you can use it to buy practically nothing. So that's useful. HBO just should call themselves just the porn network now. Just all shows about banging.
It's fine.
Remember they had Hung? Remember Hung?
Sure.
That was their show, Hung?
That's
the guy
right.
had the giant penis, Hung?
Sure.
He was
sure.
Hung?
Sure. Sure.
Now they've got a new one called Hard.
Really?
Yeah. This comes right after Masters of Sex, by the way, which was just completed, right?
That's on Showtime, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
I believe, yeah. Hard from HBO is a...
What's that a reference to, Ralph?
Hard. It's a remake of a French comedy, which was very successful on their TV, about a woman who was forced to run her late husband's business after he dies. His business, for comic sensibilities, is a failing pornography business. And she's got to take over and run the pornographic industry that he left her behind. It's hard.
Okay.
It's hard.
I'll give it a try. I'll give it a try, like I do all shows.
A woman named Jenny Bix, who wrote and produced Sex in the City and The Big C, will be working on the show.
I'm out.
Come on, Kevin. It's hard.
Sex and the City.
You don't know, man.
I know Sex and the City.
Sex and the City was a well-done show. Whatever. It may not have been your particular theme of interests, but it was always well-written and well-performed and well-produced. Why are you blocking?
How many episodes of Sex and the City did you ever watch?
Oh, my wife loved it. I watched, I don't know, probably on accident, probably five.
Yeah? And no, you didn't think that was a well-done show?
Oh, no. That show was not for me.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't for me. It wasn't for you either,
that's
right?
Not
you're
the
acting
definition.
Like it was made of it was about Nazis taking people to camps.
Never said that.
Well, you're reacting as if it was the most hideous show on television. There's a lot worse shows than Sex and the City.
Why does Kevin hate
television?
I don't hate television. I just didn't like Sex and the City.
I'm just saying your rankling is out of proportion.
My rankling is just fine. Thank you.
I think you rankle poorly. You're a poor rankler. You've been known as. And while we're talking about television, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
I thought we were just past that.
Finished that.
Well,
done with that.
Depends
season.
On what you're talking about. Some people think Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Stupid people.
What is?
Every time I talk about this, I get a huge reaction. And I do love to bring it. The news to you each and every year. It's PaleyFest 2014.
Ah.
The Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. Each and every year, what they do is they get together your finest in television experiences, and they put together the casts and the creators of these shows, and they put them up on stage, and you, the fan, get to sit in the audience and listen to them tell the stories about your favorite television programs.
Past, my nipples are so hard.
Past, present, and future. And then there's a Q&A session where you get to ask your favorite stars and creators how they did this, that, or the other thing. It's always a wonderful event. It always sells out, so I'd like to give people the information as soon as it is posted. And this morning, the Paley Fest has announced their upcoming lineup for this year's Paley Fest 2014. Let me tell you the TV shows that they will be honoring this year. Here's the schedule. The festival opens on Thursday, March the 13th. The opening bright night presentation will be...
Need another drum roll, please.
A reunion of Veronica Mars, the casting case of Veronica Mars.
All right.
Of course, they've got the major motion picture in the offing, so I'm sure they'll be discussing that as well. But if you're a Veronica Mars fan, you're not going to want to miss that. Then the next night on the 14th, Orange is the New Black will be the focus of their discussion.
Fantastic.
Great panel. How I Met Your Mother Farewell will be March the 15th. Then the next night on the 16th of March, Pretty Little Liars. You get to see the cast and creators of that television program. On March the 16th in the evening, I was shocked and a little dismayed to see this. It is the Lost 10th anniversary reunion.
No way.
Can you believe it's been 10 years since Lost first
really
came on our television screen?
And how did it end? I don't remember. Something about a church. Who was in there?
The skipper built a raft, and Gilligan was able to flag down a Coast Guard cutter, and they all got off the island.
That's right. Okay.
Yes. Parks and Recreation. Sleepy Hollow. Friday, March the 21st, you'll see me...
What?
Sitting in the audience.
Oh, okay.
Watching Mad Men, the Mad Men panel. Vampire Diaries and the Originals, a double panel on March the 22nd. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., baby.
All right.
On the 23rd, then Masters of Sex, the television program we were just discussing on Showtime, March the 24th. The Mindy Project on the 25th. Then Community the next night. Then Veep on March the 27th. And the festival will close with the closing night presentation of American Horror Story Coven.
Oh, it's so good.
Great lineup this year.
Great lineup. Glenda be there.
Glenda will be at all of them, I heard.
Wow.
She wants to attend all of them. You can find out more information by going to paleyfest.org or by going to cityprivatepass.com. That's where they're selling the tickets through this year. CITI privatepass.com. And
they should make it harder to remember and buy.
Well, I believe Citibank is one of their sponsors this year, so that's why they're doing it through there. But here's the thing. They almost always sell out even before you, the general public, get a chance to purchase them. So what you want to do is go to the PaleyCenter.org website, sign up, and become a member. Not only will you help keep the museum open and you will help pay for. It's a nonprofit organization. You'll help pay for a lot of the amazing events they do, both in radio and television. So you'll help support that, but you'll also get first dibs at the tickets for these amazing evenings with for the Paley Fest 2014. So
call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, do not call right now and we will not get back to you. We're really not that involved in it. But I'll be giving tickets out for the fest as the events approach, as we get closer. So
yeah, what's up?
I just said what's up. All those things are happening.
What's up?
Those events, all those shows are being honored.
That must have been a moment of party.
I'm sure it will be. At the event itself, the 31st Annual Paley Fest, it will be a moment of party. Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rachel Nichols, she's 34 years old today. Actress Sarah Polley is 35. Reggae singer Sean Paul is 41. R. Kelly celebrates his 47th birthday.
Where today. Are you, Chuck?
Where is that Chuck?
Where did Chuck
They
go?
Still didn't answer that. I don't know where Chuck is. David Bowie, 67 years old today. Robbie Krieger of The Doors is 68. Stephen Hawking, 72.
In other words, Bean plus 5 years.
Mm-hmm. We should play Hawking the Hits tomorrow. Maybe that's how we give away our Linkin Park tickets to celebrate,
great idea.
Celebrate Steve's birthday.
Although he might be in pretty rough shape. You know how he parties on his birthday.
That's something you mock. But the dude is almost always surrounded by attractive young women.
He is.
Almost always.
He's in a wheelchair and can't talk, yet he cheated on his wife with his nurse. That's how much of a baller this guy is.
I saw him in a restaurant here in Los Angeles once, and he walked in. The girl behind him, who was his assistant, was Playboy quality. It was ridiculous. His nurse, in quotes, was stunning.
What?
Just giving you the heads up, Steve. And game show host Bob Eubank celebrates his 76th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning, January 10th at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster and MGMGrand.com. You can buy tickets to see UFC live and in person. UFC 170 is going to be happening in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay. Two of the fighters on the card. Ladies and gentlemen, join us in studio right now. Sarah McCann and Daniel Cormier. Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hi.
Quite a treat to have a couple of Olympians in the studio with us. Welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you.
So where do we start? I know where I would start if I were in your line of work. I would be every morning getting up and watching that Anderson Silva video from the last fight and going, I got to find something new to do. That's where I'd begin.
You don't want to kick anybody in the leg, right? After seeing that?
That was horrific.
It was ridiculous. Sound that it made, it was sickening.
It was sickening. And then the sound that he was making when he was laying on the mat was just a noise that shouldn't come out of a human.
You know, it's...
Does that scare either of you? Do either of you use kicks as a main weapon?
I don't use it just as much, but definitely more of a deterrent after watching
that. That's crazy.
I couldn't even watch it. Like, when they were replaying it, I just looked away and it was bad.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I was actually working the TV stuff for it, so I was having to watch it over and over.
Showing the replay and the replay.
Yeah, I'm just holding my face, like covering my eyes, and then I'm covering my ears. I'm like a kid, you know, when a kid doesn't want to see something, it was ridiculous.
Oh, sure.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I know it happened a long time ago, but it's a video they still drag out on the NFL from time to time, and it's the Joe Theismann breaking his leg video. And it's the type of thing, and I feel like Anderson Silva is the same thing, it's the type of thing that in some ways you'll kind of never forget. It may recede for a while, but at some point it's coming back to the front of your brain, and you'll remember that night and what that looked and sounded like, and it just turns your stomach. But how does that not scare the hell out of you that could be you up there going through that?
One of my family members called me right afterwards and goes, "Man, I did not know that was a possibility. Right. Like, how could that even be a possibility?
I don't think anyone thought it was.
Daniel, that's your job and that's possible? Like, come on, you got to find a different job, brother." I was like, "Nah, it's fine." You know what, man?
What do you mean, "Nah, it's fine"?
It's fine. You know what I mean? It's not. You also got to take in, you know, Anderson, he kicks very hard.
Right.
Chris had the perfect defense.
Right.
Anderson has really skinny legs. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of factors that played into it.
And maybe some factors we're not even aware of as far as his...
Well, you know, I heard that in the first round, he kicked him and he checked the kick and it split his shin.
Is that right?
So the second kick was the one that just kind of made it snap. So the first kick just split the shin.
That's the part that kills me. The part that kills me is Anderson Silva and both of you... you'll have a problem, an issue with part of your body, and then you just go back out and throw that kick again. Like, you're used to ignoring pain.
Well, you see fighters too, fighting with a broken hand, and you know,
all the time,
the muscle memory's there, and you have to take the opportunities, and you take those opportunities in a split second.
Do you not feel it, or do you just not think about it, and then you feel it afterwards?
You feel it to a certain extent, but your adrenaline's going, you know, so hard that you're like, oh, I just broke my hand, and I got hit, and I was like, oh, my nose is broken, it's bleeding everywhere. But you just keep on going,
you're
because that's
able
your job
to just block that out.
Yeah, and you just try to protect it a little bit better, but you know, like, you don't feel it like it looks, you know.
Dan, you need to show us your hand. What it looks like, you had surgery on it.
Dude, I broke my hand 3 times in a year. I broke my hand. I punched Bigfoot Silva. You guys know who Bigfoot Silva is?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, you punch Bigfoot
properly.
Yeah, you punch Bigfoot. You're probably going to break your hand. I broke my hand against Bigfoot's head.
Right.
And then I fought Josh Barnett. I punched him, and I broke my hand again. And we fought 5 rounds. Both of us broke our hands. Josh broke his hand. I broke mine.
And you still fought five rounds.
We fought 5 rounds, and just when it was done, my hand was just mashed. It was ridiculous.
In between rounds, do you feel it?
There is so much adrenaline.
There is.
It's like when you're
even
done.
Even in between rounds. Okay.
Dude, there's like when you go into that cage, it's like you're in a cage in front of 15,000 people, and there's a guy standing across the cage from you that wants to win just as bad as you do.
Yeah.
And it's like, what am I going to do? Worry about my hand?
Yes.
So your hand's broken.
That's why I'm not a fighter.
Well, you just said that you could take Sarah and I both.
Yeah, no. Mug said that I could take Sarah and you both. I said no such thing.
I think it draws upon, like, the fight or flight. Like, I think something instinctive happens when you know that someone is going to cause you bodily harm. You know, that's the whole intent in MMA. And for me, it almost even feels like it's more elevated than wrestling. It feels like almost like an out-of-body experience. So you're really detached, and you know that you're fighting to not, you know, anything can happen out there. You're fighting to save your butt. So,
yeah.
I mean, your adrenaline pumps as hard as it can.
Even in Anderson Silva's case, he didn't stop immediately. He first almost tried to take another step on it and then looked down like, what the hell? Something's going on.
He had no idea he was about to step on like a spaghetti noodle.
No kidding.
Right, right. It's like horrible. No idea, right?
Oh, my God.
You know
God.
What's very sad about that, though? I want to say this.
Yeah.
Is that in this whole Anderson Silva injury, what's getting lost is that Chris Weidman was fighting so well.
He was.
Yes. He was dominating the first round. He was it was going to be a wash. He was really going to win every round of that fight.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Anderson Silva's behind in a lot of fights before he
only against Chael Sonnen before he looked unbeatable. But that guy, Chris Weidman, fought the fight of his lifetime.
You think he had his number? You think he would have?
Everybody has a kryptonite, and I think Chris Weidman is Anderson Silva's kryptonite. He was not going to win that fight.
He's 38. This is the last question on Anderson Silva. He's 38. If he's 28, maybe he comes back and fights. He's talking about coming back and fighting. Is it possible?
I would like to see him fight again, because I don't want the last image of Anderson Silva to see him writhing in pain on the ground with a broken leg.
But do you want to see him come back and sort of be kind of not the fighter he was?
I still think he can be that fighter.
You do.
I think he can beat a lot of people, too. He can still beat a lot of the best guys. I just think Chris Weidman is not a guy that he can beat.
You are hearing the voices of Daniel Cormier and Sarah McMahon here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are both on the bill for UFC 170. Sarah's fight, by the way, is against Ronda Rousey, and that is the headline event. We have a lot of questions about that. I wouldn't want to be you, Sarah McMahon. Let me just say that. But then maybe Ronda Rousey wouldn't want to be her with what you've got planned for her. So we'll discuss that. We'll talk about Daniel's fight against Rashad Evans as well. By the way, tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com if you want to see UFC live in Las Vegas. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Having some fun now talking UFC 170 Saturday night, February 22nd at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster.com and MGMGrand.com. Daniel Cormier is here in the studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Sarah McMahon. Sarah, let's talk about the plan against Ronda Rousey. You are undefeated. She is undefeated. What are your thoughts?
I think that this is exactly the kind of fight that gets me really excited and that I really love. Like, I don't really like the competitions where you go out and it's just, easy and you go out there and you just smoke somebody else. Like, I really crave the experiences where the other person is tough and skilled and really wants to beat you. And you get two people like that.
I want a fatty. No. It's out of shape.
But there's no glory in that. You know, like, you have to go
out
there.
But you fought everyone. I mean, you fought several fights of very good fighters, though, right? You're not saying the competition hasn't been good enough for you, are you?
No. That's what I'm saying is that the ones that were close and that were, like, knocked down, drag out, dig deep in your guts to find the will to win that fight, that's the ones I love. Like, that's the fights I crave.
How many times have you been asked how you're going to defend the armbar?
Oh.
100 million?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, I usually say, oh, crap.
Think of that.
I've been doing triangle defense. Really?
It's weird, but she has won every fight that way, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
So everybody who goes into the octagon with her knows that it's coming and has prepared for it, yet somehow still gets taken by it. Why? Well, what is the mistake that they're making that you won't make?
I don't know if they're making so much as a mistake as that, you know, like if you look at some of the people that she's fought, you know, like they just haven't competed very long. Like some of them have been doing MMA for 3 years. Some of them have been doing it for like 6 years. Rhonda and I both have been doing this for the majority of our lives. I've done this for 19 years. You know, like I'm well-versed in competition. I'm well-versed under pressure. I know how to trust my body to do what I've trained it to do because that's what it's always done. So, I mean, that's what pretty much for me gives me a lot more confidence going into any wrestling match, grappling match, any fight is that I perform under pressure.
Now, Gaspin, you have never.
I was just curious. It's funny because you and Daniel both have the wrestling background, both being Olympians. I mean, what a great time in history that there's some place for Olympic wrestlers to go now. There's somewhere else they can take their their craft and earn a living. That wasn't the case until UFC came along and other mixed martial arts.
Oh, absolutely. The rise in MMA has created another pathway for wrestlers and other martial artists to continue along their path. Like, we don't just have our Olympics and world championships now, like guys who compete in high school and compete in college, like they have another avenue that they can make a living off of doing sports, a thing that they've done since they were probably 5 years old, you know, and that's wonderful.
All right, so you have Sarah McMahon, and she's of course fighting Ronda Rousey. You have Daniel Cormier, who's also here, who's going to fight his mortal enemy, Rashad Evans. Let's talk about that matchup and how that came about. You're changing weight classes, right?
Yes, I am. I've been fighting a heavyweight. You know, I wrestled my whole life, obviously, and I cut a lot of weight the whole time. Mm-hmm. I wrestled like 185 in college.
185?
Yeah.
Okay.
211 all through my post-college career. And then, you know what? I started doing MMA. I said, I don't need to worry about weight cutting. I need to worry about attaining skills to compete at the highest level.
Right.
Once I've done that, now I can add that extra aspect of weight cutting and dieting and everything. So, now I'm going to fight at a weight that's more natural for my body. And I'm obviously I've done well because they're giving me a former champion in my first time down and in another co-main event, which is an honor and a privilege. And I'm glad I'm going to get to compete against a guy I consider a friend.
Tell us
and a
your
guy
relationship.
That I know,
tell us about your relationship.
Well, Rashad is one of those guys that even when he moved into MMA, he kept his eye on wrestling. He was very supportive of us in the Olympics and everything. And post-Olympics, he took me out to Colorado to help him prepare for his fight against Thiago Silva, help him against Rampage Jackson. So we've trained together a couple times and just kept a real good friendship in terms of communication and everything. We hang out when we're together, and he's just a good buddy of mine. You know,
you posted
a
picture
guy.
On Instagram of your part of your contract for UFC 170.
Yeah.
And he responded?
Yeah, it's funny. He just wrote, hey, good luck, DC. You kick his butt. Wait a minute. He's like, oh, wait. With a smile face. He's a funny guy.
I used to play basketball against a guy who wouldn't start until I made him mad. Yeah. Once I made him mad, like, that's what he needed to then destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
Do fighters need somebody that they can look across and get mad at? Or it's you fine with a friend and you just, you want to beat him up, you want to win the fight.
Yeah, of course.
But you don't have to be driven by anger.
No, I would have preferred to have fought someone different. Obviously,
you would have.
I would have, but you know what? When the UFC says this is the fight we want to make, it's not going to change. You got to take on a different mind frame, you know. And I know how to separate friendship with competition on that night. Rashad and I are going to compete on February 22nd, and I'm going to win. And then after that, we can go back to being just as good of friends as we were before.
We'll see.
You know, so you compete, you know, to support your family, and we're going to go out there and we're going to compete, and it's going to propel one of us to a championship fight, hopefully.
Speaking of your social media, Daniel, and Kevin made reference to your Instagram, you went to Russia.
Yeah.
It was how cold when you were out there ice fishing with Kane Velasquez?
Dude, Kane and I went to Russia on December 18th until December 23rd, which was very scary because both of us are scared of our women. Like, you wouldn't believe it, but we're both definitely afraid of our women.
Okay.
So the whole time we're sitting there going, man, we got to get back for Christmas because if we miss Christmas,
yeah.
You'll never
screwed.
Hear the end
it
of it.
It does not matter how big that check is. We are in trouble when
right.
we get back.
Of course.
But it was minus 35 degrees. We were ice fishing. Kane decided he was going to take a walk. 10 minutes later, he came back, face all red. He's like, yeah, it's just too cold. But we went to
it took him to take a 10-minute walk to tell you it was too cold?
Because he always wants to go inside. That's his deal. Let's go walking. I'm like, okay, let's go walking. But not in Russia. Well,
right.
We went to a sauna where we were in the sauna. The people would go into the hot sauna, beat you with the leaves. Then they go and jump into a freezing ice bath.
Oh.
And then back into the sauna. But then the thing that was the most crazy was the day a guy took these two kids, him and his wife, they had two kids, and they would take them outside and dip them in the water. There was one little boy that started screaming, crying.
Is this just like toughen up?
That's exactly what
you
he
little
said.
Bastards?
He goes, it will make my kid tougher. They'll make the kids tougher. It's like tradition. But there was this one little boy. Little Fedor. He was huge. He was like one, but the kid was 20-some pounds, I promise you. He was huge. They put him in. He's all, yeah, all right. The kid didn't even.
Nothing.
He did nothing.
They picked put him right into fighting.
His mom's like running him in back inside. He's not even cold. The kid's a big Russian bear
Dude,
baby.
That's tough.
Big old Russian bear baby.
That is
But
crazy.
Just for the record, the kids are fine. I got a whole bunch of that on my Instagram. People were worried about the kid. Like,
of
the
course,
kid's
yeah.
fine. I mean, that's what they do, you know. That's why you see Russian guys, you know, they're tough guys. They're the best wrestlers in the world, and it's probably because they got dipped in minus 20-degree water when they were one-year-old babies.
And I'm guessing by your smile you made your flight back.
Dude, I was so happy. I was so happy. I was so scared. Like, even though I got home, it's like I traveled so many hours. I got home, and I went right to Christmas in the Park because I was, like, so exhausted, but I was too afraid to tell her. I was like, she's going to beat me up if I tell
of
her I'm
course.
Too tired. She's like,
you can't go. I'm too tired. I'm yeah, jet lagged.
I just got back. I'm jet lagged from Russia. Well, it's Christmas. You better drive this car. We sat That's 2 hours waiting in line to get to the Christmas
Would you
in the
say
Park.
That was harder or your fight against Rashad Evans?
Dude, I'm telling you, facing that woman, there's not much like it. When she gets mad, those women, when they get mad, boy, it's nothing like it.
That's
is
for sure.
Crazy. All right. So UFC 170, again, it's coming up at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, February 22nd. Tickets are going on sale this Friday morning, 10 o'clock, Ticketmaster.com. Man, it's going to be so much fun. Sarah, I'm glad we got a chance to meet you. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Hey, let's say something about the tickets. These tickets are they're cheap, man. Cage side, $450
right?
get you cage side.
Yeah. What?
Yes, this is the card you need to go
this
see because not only is it good fights, I mean, not only are Sarah and I fighting Ronda and Rashad, Damian Maya's fighting Rory McDonald, Mike Powell's fighting TJ Wahlberger, and it's so cheap. You can go.
That's crazy.
$50 is the cheapest seat. So, I mean, you know, come out and watch the fights. I promise you we're going to put on a good show, and it's at a discount. And who doesn't want to go to Vegas?
And I hear that those prices aren't going to stay that way long. Like, there's a huge demand for it. So you better
so buy
get
them quick.
Yeah, should buy.
Or you end up on StubHub. People will scoop them up and start trying to resell them on StubHub.
Yeah,
so.
That is what happens.
Yeah.
Anytime something's underpriced, that's what happens all the
yes.
time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Try not to break anything, guys, okay? We don't need any more nightmares.
Best of luck to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you guys for having us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Anyway, what can I say?
What can you
and
say?
And those of you who are having a pajama party mm-hmm. on New Year's Eve,
all right.
don't forget to turn on this Dick seems... Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
This is old, Rodney.
I mean, you know you're going to have Miley Cyrus.
Right, but
maybe she'll come down the falling
It's the 8th.
Ball in Times Square.
There's no ball in
I'm sure
January.
She's going to battle it out with Lady Gaga.
The falling
but
ball.
Guess what? Blondie is going to be on live playing Blondie, and they may even show the clip that I'm on.
They didn't.
When I was on with Blondie,
they didn't
when they
show
did
it.
Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Like 2 weeks ago, Rodney.
1980.
Oh, you were on in 1980?
Amazing.
I'm sure they'll show that clip. I'm
surprised they didn't rerun the 1980
New Year's
show.
Eve on ABC.
All right.
New Year's Eve.
All right.
How about some brand new Death Club for Cutie?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Happy New Year.
No, Death Club for Cutie, they're good. I like them. Death Club is good.
First rule of Death Club is you don't talk about Death Club, Rodney.
That's what I understand, yeah. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, since we're in a theme already of everything old is new again, interesting news today coming out about Disneyland. There's been some rumor for some time now that they're going to remodel Tomorrowland, that portion of the theme park. And it looks like it's going to happen. Interestingly enough, they are going to remodel Tomorrowland based on Star Wars.
The new Star Wars or just
all the old ones?
Is it going to be an amalgamation?
No.
Of the original Star Wars films and Star Wars Episode 7, which will be opening about the same time they hope to open this part of the theme park.
I'm confused by this for a number of reasons, Ralph.
Not the
least of which is, doesn't Disney have a Tomorrowland movie coming out this year or next year?
Yes.
I would think that's where they would be going with this.
Ralph, what were they thinking in the boardroom when they made this decision?
Here's what Team Disney Anaheim was thinking, Kevin, as they put on their thinking caps with little mouse ears on them. They said, sure, we've got Tomorrowland the movie coming out, which is everything Tomorrowland has always been. That everyone knows who has come to the theme park, who knows the ins and outs of Tomorrowland. Sure, we've got that covered. That'll come out this year. But then we're going to start transforming Tomorrowland into a brand new attraction based on the popular Star Wars franchise.
Is that popular?
Star Wars?
Yes.
Some people like it, yes.
All right.
Here's some of the rides that have been, there's speculation, mind you, from a website called MiceChat.com, which describes itself as the recognized leader for information on Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and the Walt Disney Company.
That's how they describe themselves?
That's how they describe themselves.
Okay.
So it's got to be real, right?
All
right. The Imagineers are planning the following attractions. A Millennium Falcon walkthrough. You get to walk through the Millennium Falcon. That'd be pretty cool.
Is it big enough to walk through?
Yeah, you got a duck, I think. If I remember correctly, it's a duck.
Seems like a little fighter.
You will be able to visit the Tatooine Cantina.
All right.
Sure.
Go there and have a cocktail. Have someone cut your arm off with a lightsaber. That'd be cool. A speeder bike ride through the Ewok village.
That sounds fun.
That'd be cool. These key attractions are still part of the Phase 2, but they are going to be layered and tweaked to include references from Episode 7, according to the website, that will be released in theaters at least 18 months before any of these attractions open. So you'll get the best of the old and best of the new, and it'll be Star Wars will have built to a fever pitch by the time they christen Tomorrow World as Star Wars World or Star Wars Land or whatever it's going to be. So,
let's all remember that
nerd news right there.
That is big nerd news, whatever you just said. Let's all remember that, curiously, Star Wars is set in the past, too, which is odd that it would be taking over Tomorrowland.
Oh, that is curious. Captain, let it roll!
Are we due a vacation anytime soon?
Yeah. We got a big vacation.
Doesn't seem like we ever get vacation.
Let me tell you something that you're going to like. This event is always one of the, at least when it comes to the Showbiz Beat, one of the most talked about events of the year. People always send me emails and messages saying, how do I get tickets and where I went and thanks for letting me know. I would have known about it otherwise. So I do want to talk about the Paley Center for Media and their annual Paley Fest. It is the 31st annual Paley Fest. This is where they take your favorite TV shows and they bring the casts and creators of those shows to a theater. And they put them up on stage and they have a moderator and they discuss your shows. But you, the fan, are in the audience. So at the end, usually they open it up almost always to a Q&A. And you get to ask the cast and creators of your favorite TV shows some of your questions.
Which one of those for Dexter? It was awesome.
Dexter, I went to that one too. It was a great panel. I've been to I go to a ton of them every year. Some of my favorites, White Collar was especially entertaining for me. I went to a Mad Men one. I went to Dexter. I went to Alias. I went to a Fringe.
All strong.
So some of your favorite shows are discussed And it's so nice to be, as a fan, to be able to get up close and personal with the cast and the creators, all the talent that's behind some of your favorite shows. They have just announced the lineup for this year's Paley Fest. It starts on March the 13th, goes all the way through March the 28th. These are the shows they will be honoring this year at Paley Fest 2014. Veronica Mars, they're bringing the cast and creators of that show back for a reunion.
Of the TV show.
Of the TV show, okay. Which, of course, will... I'm sure they'll also be exploring the big budget motion picture that they put up via Kickstarter, too. So.
Sure.
A lot to talk about there. Orange is the New Black. I know there's a lot of hardcore fans of that show who would like to meet the cast and creators of those shows. How I Met Your Mother, The Farewell. They'll be talking about the ending of that series. Pretty Little Liars. Lost, the 10th anniversary reunion. Getting everybody from Lost back together again.
It can't have been 10 years.
And I went to a Lost panel when it was on, when the show was on the air. Parks and Recreation. Sleepy Hollow. Mad Men.
Why are you yelling?
Because it's the finale. It's the final season of Mad Men coming up this year.
No, that's going to be heartbreaking.
It is going to be heartbreaking. You enjoying it, Kevin? You really like Mad Men?
I cry every episode.
Now, in Kevin's defense, he is almost two-thirds of the way through the pilot.
That's right.
I did get called away on some urgent business.
He's going to get back to it, Ralph.
I'll get back to it.
That's crazy to me.
I'm a busy guy.
The Vampire Diaries and the Originals will be sharing the stage.
That'll go too.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's strong.
Masters of Sex, The Mindy Project, Community, and Veep. And then the closing night presentation will be American Horror Story Coven. So, what a great lineup this year. Almost every year they put together an amazing lineup of these shows. And if you're interested and you're a TV geek like I am, you're going to want to buy tickets. You can get the details at PaleyFest.org, or you can go to Ticketmaster.com. The tickets will be available to the general public on Sunday, January the 19th. However, if you are smart, you will join the Paley Center as a member.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
You'll be able to buy them on the website through Paley Fest much earlier than they go on sale to the general public. So, do the right thing. Go to PaleyFest.org, become a member, and then you will get access to tickets before anyone else. And these always sell out because it's a very small theater they do it in, and it's a lot of people want to participate. So go to PaleyCenter.org for more details. But it's always a great event, and I just wanted to give people a heads up. Porn Star Kim.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like,
I just told you where to get them. PaleyCenter.org or PaleyFest.org. Go there for details. All right, porn star Kim Kardashian. Well, she'll do anything for attention. Even, perhaps, it appears, allegedly, maybe, photoshopping her own selfies that she posts online.
I bet that happens a lot.
There is a selfie of her showing off her butt with her girlfriend, Black China. They were working out together, apparently, and then they took a picture over the shoulder of them comparing their asses. An interesting story on radaronline.com. They break it down with a guy named Peach T.
Oh, Peach T does good work.
Well, he is known, Kevin, as a Photoshop guru of the internet. He's one of these guys who does legendary Photoshop work.
All right.
And he takes you through the photos showing you where she enlarged her bust in some pictures and decreased her waist in other pictures using Photoshop. And you can tell because where her bust is, if you look to the left of like the door frame behind her, the door frame has a bow in it in the shape of like a boob. It's just slightly enlarged and twisted and warped. So you can tell that the picture has been digitally altered, and the same with the sculpting of her waistline for that photo as well.
It sounds like you're convinced. You've looked at it, and you believe it has been photoshopped.
And I absolutely, unless someone is buying warped doors at Home Depot and installing them in the Kardashian mansion, there's no reason why a door would be that shape.
That's fine.
It's like straight line to the top, and then it just warps in the middle, and then it gets a straight line to the bottom of the door.
That's sort of bad photoshopping, by the way. I mean, I think that's a simple...
I guess she figured no one would notice.
Yeah.
And to do really good photoshopping, you have to spend some time with it. I'm assuming she didn't want to do that either.
Why would she need to photoshop and enlarge her bust, by the way?
It's just sad. It's just they're just slight little changes, but I guess she's insecure enough to make that necessary. Anyway, there you go. Busted!
You need a segment called Busted!
Busted! With Ralph Garman. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
I'll be giving tickets away to Paley Fest like in March when it happens.
He's patient. I'll give him that.
He really just waits. For an opportunity to get his question.
Still on the phone.
Dave, is there anything else you need before I go to birthdays?
All right.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
Yes. There's a block of rooms at the Marriott. You tell them you're there for Pally Fest, they'll hook you up with the discount rate. Healthy stars are born today on January the 8th. Rachel Nichols is 34 years old today.
Take it easy. She's hot, but take it easy.
Sarah Polly's 35 years old today. R. Kelly's 47. David Bowie, 67. Robbie Krieger, guitarist for the legendary band The Doors, 68 years old. Physicist Stephen Hawking celebrates his 72nd birthday today. I just want to, speak to him in his own language.
Sure.
So he can understand me. And Bob Eubanks, legendary game show host. He used to host a show called The Newlywed Game. That's where we get that be in the butt, Bob. That's where we get that from.
Oh, okay.
The question he posed to one young couple. The premise of The Newlywed Game was you would separate brand new married couple and ask one of them a series of questions. They have to write down their answers. Then you ask the second member of the couple. You bring them back on stage. You ask them the same questions. And if the answers matched up, the newlyweds would get points. And whoever got the most points would win a glorious set of prizes and packages.
Didn't they get mad at each other and stuff?
Well, they would, because invariably the questions would be asked and the answers would be different.
Oh, I see.
Okay. And they would say, how can you be so stupid? You know, on our honeymoon, we went to the beach. And someone wrote the mountains or something. That was just kind of arguments coming up. So there was a legendary, at a time people thought it was a urban legend that this actually happened, but someone hunted down the video and it did happen to be true.
No kidding.
Someone asked the man of the couple, where is the most unusual place you and your wife ever made whoopee? And the guy said, I think it was the bathroom. I think a bathroom problem. So they bring the wife out and they say, we asked your husband these questions. What's your answer to this question? What's the most unusual place you ever made whoopee? And she said, that'd be in the butt, Bob.
Yay!
And he was there for that. It all happened. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Zoe Bell in the studio. We have comedian Whitney Cummings on the program tomorrow. We are going to talk to Dr. Drew.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert?
It's very far from Palm Desert. I think the festival is in Beverly Hills.
It's not close.
Stop it.
The star of Lone Survivor, we have Mark Wahlberg on the program tomorrow.
What? Yep. My son, Mark Wahlberg?
That's correct, your son. And we also have Linkin Park tickets. I believe we're doing Hawking the Hits tomorrow. So you get your chance to win those tickets tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.